Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds won their third game in a row last night when they beat the Seattle Mariners 4-2 in the Emerald City. The Redlegs hit three homers in the game, and Chase Burns got his 12th win on the season. Cincy will go for the sweep this afternoon on the Fan 2 with coverage starting at 3:10. The Cleveland Guardians won again last night. They beat the Minnesota Twins 5-2. They'll go for three in a row tonight with first pitch at 6:40. The Clippers are also in Minnesota. They'll take on the St. Paul Saints this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And Jake Diebler confirmed that the basketball Buckeyes will be taking trips to Miami and Puerto Rico next week to play two scrimmages to prepare for the upcoming season. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warmer weather, more time outside. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss plan of summer. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Go, go, go!
Featuring producer Dylan.
We're the five best rappers of all time.
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvis. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvis, how you doing, bud?
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Wagwan, you blessed?
Wagwan, you blessed?
And what's the response?
Yeah, man. Everything blessed.
Yeah, man. Everything blessed. Right. I got to get that down.
I can't believe you've heard this like 3 days in a row and you still can't figure it out.
Tyvis, I still have to check my own birthday. When someone asks me, what is my birthday? I have to pause for a moment and go, wait a second.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's in August. But like, I do that with me. I do that with my wife. I do that with my kids.
It don't just come second nature to you?
My brain apparently has done a thing. And I don't know when this started because it used to not be this way. But my brain has done a thing now where it takes stuff that I know and it says, you do know it. But where we're going to put that... is way back over here in an itchy part of your brain.
As far as your own birthday.
Just stupid stuff like that. Or like, I'll be talking about a friend that I haven't seen in a few years. I was telling a story to my daughter the other day about some guys I used to hang out with. It's been a while. Like, we all have kids now. We don't hang out as much. And I start talking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm blanking on it. And I'm like, oh God, Matt, there we go. Like, finally the name came out. And I'm like, what happened?
I can't remember his name. But y'all friends though. Good friends.
I would consider us good friends.
But you don't know his name.
It's like the other day when you were sitting here and we're talking about the games you lost, which is not a long list.
That's a shame.
And I could not remember that you guys lost to Virginia Tech. I was on the air yelling at you and your teammates for losing that game. And it just completely slipped my mind because my brain is like, that's going over here now. You know it, but it's just. And then as soon as we said Virginia, I'm like, Virginia Tech, bare defense, Urban couldn't do anything because they put one guy over the center. And that was the only thing he talked about in his post game. Like, everything came flooding back, but it's just not there sometimes when I need it. Instant recall of just simple dates and facts and names are bad for me right now.
Typically, my wife would tell you I'm like the opposite. Like, the way that
I would agree with
the way that I remember things, like.
Yeah,
sometimes I remember things to every detail, and she looks at me and be like, I don't know how your brain worked like that.
Right.
And I said, well, honey, it's because I've never taken drugs and never drinking alcohol.
That could be it.
I have no problem remembering my birth date.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
But if you ask me how old I am, it's going to take me a second
or two. That's more what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like, I know that I was born on... Yeah, I know I'm August 14th, by the way, is the date. But like, I know that. But like,
really?
It starts to get... As you get older, it starts to happen, Tyvis. You'll see it too.
Nah.
Because what I do... Because my birthday is also in August. But what I do is I go, I know I was born in 1992 and it's 2026. And that makes me
34,
but that's wrong for 8 months of the year.
Yes.
Because my birthday's in August.
I do the same thing.
So I just decided that in January, my birthday for when people ask how old I am, it's just January 1st now.
Yeah. Once I'm in the year,
whatever year I'm turning that year, that's how old I am. And I'm just telling people the wrong age for 8 of the 12 months of the year.
I've started doing it where the way I get around that, because I, like I said, I've struggled with remembering it for dumb reasons, but I will sit there and say, I'll be 44 this year. Like, that's how
I'll start saying that.
Just say, I'll be whatever. Cause then it's like, that's true the whole year until you are that age. And then you can just say, I'm this old.
And then from September to December, I'll just sound like a dumbass saying, I'll turn this age this year. Cause I'll just be programmed into saying that.
Hey, but who cares? Who cares? Nah, it's fine. I'm also the person, like, once I hit the birthday, immediately, like, we're done with that age. And it's already, my brain is next to, like, you know, next year you're going to be 45. And then, like, that starts happening, and it's like, oh, you're only, after this year, you'll be 5 years away from 50. And then, like, all that crap starts getting in my head. And so then by the time we get to, I don't know, March of the next year, I'm like, I'm basically 75. Like, that's, my brain has already jumped ahead to, like, all the ages, and it's like, I'm not. I just...
You know what? I'm on the let us die young or let us live forever thing. You know,
what does that mean?
I am young. I'm forever young in my mind.
Okay.
So, like, I don't...
So die young or live forever.
You don't know that.
You don't know the song?
No.
What
song is that?
Wow.
What song is it?
Oh, wow.
Is this about Taylor Farms and Taco Bell? Let us die young? No? Okay, sorry. That's
that was good.
Play
the drums.
Play the drums.
The rim shot.
There it is.
What is it? Let us die young or let us live forever?
We don't have the power, but we never say never.
I do not know. I don't.
Wow.
Forever. This is the German band Alphaville. This is the song.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. So the original song is Forever.
We talking about Forever
Young.
Like,
yes.
The chorus is Forever Young.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it's just the way you're singing it. I don't
Tyvus
know.
And I were introduced to it via Jay-Z.
That's a fact.
Who sampled that song. But yes.
That's a fact.
Hey, you know, let's see again. I've told you there's things I remember that they're in the far eerie recesses of my brain that I don't know why I can't find them. Can't pull it together. Don't know what's going on. So yeah, there you go. By the way, tonight, you see what I'm wearing? I got the Crew jersey on.
Yes, you do.
Crew are back, baby. Yeah. You know who they're playing? New York City FC. Yeah. There's two New York teams.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is the one that plays in the baseball stadiums for now. Because they're getting a stadium home, built. Right?
Hold on. You said baseball stadiums?
They have played both in Yankee Stadium, which is where they primarily play. But then when the Yankees are sometimes in town, they have to go take over Citi Field because that is also sometimes when the Yankees are in town, the Mets are not in town, they'll go take that. They're getting a stadium built, I believe, in Brooklyn, I think. Anyway,
it's coming soon, but
it's not done yet. But they've been allowed to exist by MLS by living in a baseball stadium, essentially, with the smallest field. Like, the field's not even the right size. Like, it's the dumbest. It is... Major League Soccer had this ad campaign that came out right after the World Cup with, like, Messi in it. Our guy Max was in it, Max Arfston, and it was like, all right, world, thanks. We'll take it from here. And then now, come watch one of our games where our guy's playing a baseball stadium. Yeah, we're ready. That's stupid.
Gosh, I wonder how many New Yorkers take the train to the wrong baseball stadium. And I'm sure it's happened.
It doesn't happen often, but I'm sure it has happened where, like, it's not every week they're flip-flopping like that. They're mostly in Yankee Stadium, but don't worry. They're flopping.
I think their home game situation is worse than the Athletics.
That's what I've decided.
Well,
are the Athletics still in Sacramento?
Yes.
When is the Vegas thing?
But they're playing on an actual baseball field.
But when is they thing in Vegas going to be?
28, 29, something like that. It's going to be a few years. Wow. No, that was the whole thing is when the A's moved from Oakland, because it was like, we're out of here. And Oakland basically kicked them out and said, we don't want you here. If you're not, you're going to leave anyway. We're not going to let you just take this stadium and pay. We're not going to pay all this money to keep the stadium up if you're not even going to stay here. So they had to find somewhere else because their owner's an idiot. And so they had to find a soft landing spot and basically tell Sacramento, hey, don't mind us. We're just going to call ourselves the Athletic. They tried to not even call themselves the Sacramento Athletics.
They literally just go by Athletics, no city.
Mm-hmm. They did.
They're an orphan team, Tyvus.
They did. However, I did see, I think it was last year or this year, they introduced like a third jersey that does have Sacramento on it, and they do wear it sometimes.
Oh, really?
And it looks like the A's script with the green and the yellow, and it, like you say, Oakland, now it's a Sacramento, basically. Mm. So they've done that to at least, I don't know, acknowledge the fact that they are playing somewhere for 4 years without, you know.
It's crazy how, like, as a kid, I thought that was, like, something you do on video games where you get a franchise, change their name, and then I've watched it happen, like, multiple. You've seen the Hornets and...
Supersonics?
The Supersonics, the Hornets,
mm-hmm.
the Pelicans, you got the Washington football team.
I forgot they changed their name twice.
Yeah. The Guardians, the Indians, the Guardians.
Well, this Guardians thing didn't surprise me because remember before they did that, there would just be people protesting in front of the stadium all the time.
Oh, yeah. They did that at Washington all the time.
Yeah, so I mean, I had never been to a formerly known as the Redskins game, but I had been to a bunch of Indians games and I was like, oh, there's people mad about this.
Dude, I'll tell you, honestly, like, it was so bizarre to see the people who were, like, clearly the whites from, like, Cuyahoga County or whatever, who were there with, like, a native headdress on and face paint, yelling at a person who was native that, like, let me be a fan. And it's like, this is a bad look, buddy. This is a real bad look for you. I remember seeing that in the paper, like on the internet, where it'd be like, fans are arguing with the protesters, and it would be like just a guy from Parma who's like, let me wear it, man. It's just like, man, I don't know if I'd say that to someone who's actually like native and who is clearly not happy about this. But you do you. That's what you chose. By the way, I have an assignment tonight for Crew fans. If you're going to this game, I will tell you what the assignment is coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Looking to be a great start to our morning right now. We're not seeing any crashes or slowdowns being reported in our areas around the metro. Looking great from the north side to 70 at 315, as well as towards the west side, 70 just east of Wilson Road. Also, roads not too bad just south of Bexley. We're looking at that live traffic cam, 70 at 33. The only area is we're just seeing a little bit more cars. New Albany, 161 over at Hamilton Road. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
You'll notice it's less humid out there this morning, and that mugginess keeps on going down throughout the day. We'll see a mostly sunny sky today with pleasant high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, another winter. Morning lows in the 50s, afternoon highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
By the way, we have a new voicemail line. We've been talking about it this week.
It was blowing it up yesterday.
It was. 614-460-8010 is the number. 614-460-8010. Put that in your phone. You don't have to call it now, but just keep it for like whenever you want to rant about something, you want to call the show. You know, a lot of you don't listen all the time right when the show is on. That's okay. But that's the phone line essentially for this show. You call that, we get it immediately. We can play it during the show. Maybe we'll get it at 3 a.m. because you're mad about something and you're up, you're eating Doritos. I don't know what you're doing, but you're sitting there and you decided to give us a call. We can get that audio and that'll be great. So if you want to be on the show, that's the way to do it. Do we have one that came in? There's one that came in right after the show yesterday. It was just someone ranting about the 95 Cleveland, you know, at the time, Cleveland Indians, now obviously the Cleveland Guardians. Do we have that one, Dylan?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, this is Nick from Mount Vernon. My hot take is, if you got a time machine, went back to 1995, and got the Indians, and brought them back to today, the 95 Indians would absolutely slaughter, literally everybody in baseball today. And I mean, they'd probably win like 120-plus games and sweep their way through, all the way through the World Series. Like, when Manny Ramirez is hitting seventh in that lineup, like, what are we even doing here? Just give them the World Series right now. But then back in 95, we ran the Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz. But let's not talk about that. And we definitely don't talk about Jose Mesa in 97.
No.
But anyway, that's my hot take. It's basically the 95 Indians would absolutely obliterate any team today.
I can't disagree with
them. I don't disagree.
I can disagree.
I'm looking at
it. Why didn't they go ahead and win the World Series in the mid to late 90s?
Wasn't it a lockout that happened in one of them years?
94.
Yeah.
No, 94 was the lockout.
Which is about 10 different fan bases claimed they would have won the World Series that year if there wasn't a strike, including Cleveland's.
I think including the Expo. Which doesn't even exist anymore. Yes, that's the Nationals now. But Montreal Expos were also really good that year.
Kenny Lofton, Marvin Bell, Carlos Borrega, Albert Bell.
Let me give you the lineups. I have it right here. Here we go.
That is
Kenny Lofton hitting leadoff.
That's crazy.
Averaging .310. All right. Starting you off .310. I don't have his on base percentage or any of that, but Kenny Lofton was hitting .310, leading you off. Omar Vizquel hitting second, light hitting, but great defensive player, but still .266 is the light hitting shortstop back in 1995. Carlos Baerga hitting third, .300 hitter. Albert Bell hitting fourth, .317 with 50 home runs. Just throwing that out there. Eddie Murray, the legend, hitting sixth in DH, or hitting fifth in DH. Jim Thome hitting sixth in this lineup.
That's crazy.
And also all those guys over .300. Manny Ramirez, as he said, Man Ram himself, batting seventh, .308 with 31 dingers and 107 RBI. That's all. And then Paul Sereno at first hitting eighth, and your catcher was Sandy Alomar Jr., also a legend. Like, so that's your lineup.
dude,
I think your pitching staff was Charles Nagy, Oral Hershiser, Denny Martinez, Mark Clark, all those guys. Like, two of those guys, Nagy and Hershiser, both had 16 wins. Both were sub-4 ERA. Denny Martinez, .308 ERA. Like, None of those guys had an ERA over four that I just named. And yes, Jose Mesa, we know, but he had 46 saves that year and was like pretty lights out. Paul Ostenmacher, people forget about the Ostenmacher himself, but yeah, he was pretty good too.
They had dudes, man. They did. I'm not arguing that at all. And this take is not exclusive to the 95 or 97 Indians. Yeah. If you can't win in your own era, you're not coming into the current era and winning anything.
Every
sports league is better in 2026 than it was in 1995.
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true. Guys hit better back then.
Every sports league is better because the athletes are better now. Athletes are only getting better. And athletes, I will have the same take 20 years from now.
Athletes, I agree with you to some degree, but baseball is a sport where athleticism is not as important as it is, say, in basketball. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Like nobody would confuse Tony Gwynn for being the greatest, like, physical specimen that we've ever seen, right? People wow over the fact that, like, DK Metcalf, like, looks like he looks, right? And is like a freak of nature as far as physicality. But that is important more, I think, in football at certain positions than it is, say, in baseball. And Tony Gwynn, you could put him in front of, I don't know, the dude who, like, pitches from, like, an inch off the mound where he does the submarine throws. You could put him up against the dude with the goofy gloves out there in Milwaukee who's throwing 105. Tony Gwynn would still be hitting .330.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying, it doesn't matter what era you put him in. He knows how to flip the bat out there. Yeah. These guys suck at hitting so much. They had to ban the shift. Tony Gwynn would never have been shifted because he would have hit 1,000. Because every time they would have moved over to the right, he would have been like, all right, I guess I'm hitting the left side every single time until they go, well, I guess now we got to shift to the left. Then he'd hit one down the right field line every single time. That's just not there in baseball now. So,
I mean, Tony Gwynn might be timeless, but I'm telling you, if Babe Ruth saw prime Aroldis Chapman, he wouldn't even get the bat off the shoulder.
Ooh, oh, okay.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
He is going to fly that thing. You're going to be like, phew.
No, I'll give you. Hey, by the way, I will grant you that the guys who played before integration, I have questions about their resumes. 100%. Because you weren't playing against the best. You were playing against the guys they let play.
You question the great Bambino?
Absolutely.
The colossal of clout? The king of crash?
Now,
the colossal of clout. The colossal of clout.
I will question those guys, yes, who are swinging tree trunks. And, like, if you've never heard Shane Gillis's bit that he does about, like, baseball pre-Jackie Robinson, like, it's pretty great. But, like, one of the points he makes in that is that, like, yeah, their best pitcher was, you know, Skippy McGillicuddy, he runs a 5.640. He's the greatest player alive, you know, and it's like, yeah, like, you're not playing against the best players ever. You're playing against a certain segment of the population. But last I checked, the 95 Guardians/Indians played in that era where everyone could play. And yes, they just happened to run into the battery that was three Hall of Famers, right? Like, pitching staff for the Braves back then is unbelievable. Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz ruined my life as a child, as a Mets fan. Because every year I'd be like, my Mets are going to do it. We've got guys. And then they would go run into that idiot team and lose.
What's the guy for the Mets that just got into the Hall of Fame that you watched strike out in the
Carlos Beltran.
Carlos Beltran.
Yes.
Don't even talk to me about that guy. Put someone else's hat on. I don't want your hat on. I don't want to claim him.
He should have put an Astros hat on and banged the trash can.
Yeah, bang the trash can, you cheater. I hate him.
It's the fact that you remember.
I hate him so much.
He watched that pitch go right by.
He didn't watch one of them. He watched three of them. Watched all three go right by. Adam Wainwright's lore started on Carlos Beltran's bat sitting on his shoulder.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Adam Wainwright, you're right.
No.
He should be. He's great. Not Carlos Beltran sucks.
I'm surprised. For the haters ball, you didn't kick him out the whole
time. You know what? I forgot that he was in.
Missed opportunity.
You're right. Well, you know what? We'll do another one. We'll definitely do another one. Don't worry. We'll definitely do another haters ball. By the way, I got some instructions for people who are going out to the Crew game tonight. Crew are playing New York City FC. You know who plays for New York City FC? You know who their goalkeeper is? I don't know if he's playing tonight because he's had a busy summer. But the guy who was the goalkeeper for your U.S. men's national team, Matt Freese. Remember the idiot ran out on the field in the middle of that Belgium game and decided to have like one of the dumbest moments a goalkeeper has ever had in his life?
Talking about when he kicked the grass and
missed the ball. And yeah, that guy will be at Crew Stadium tonight, I believe, playing goalie. Now, here's what we're not going to do. Here's my request, Crew fans. I have two requests. One, stop ripping off the Norway row thing. Don't do that in the Nordic. That's stupid. That's not ours. You're not from Norway. Shut up. Okay? I love the Nordic, but don't do that.
Are you going to the game?
I can't tonight. Why? Because we have kids in a play, and we got all kinds of tech week, and I got to run kids. Just don't even. Trust me. I'll be there in spirit. I'll be watching it.
What about this weekend, Saturday?
That's when the play actually is. So no, I won't be there either for that because the play is actually that and I got to go to the play. Anyway, listen, by the way, this weekend, hell is real. Cincinnati, that's a big game too. But tonight, when Matt Freese comes to town, if he is in goal, I don't want them to be this, like, please welcome U.S. national teamer Matt Freese. And everybody just, hey, no. Boo. What? Boo that man.
Boo this
Boo
man.
Him. Listen. One, he's not on your team tonight. He's on the other team. So I don't care that he played for the U.S. national team. You boo him. Mm. But secondarily, did he play well for the U.S. national team? Also, no. So don't do this, but he's our guy.
His cleat got stuck in the turf.
Yeah.
Or the grass.
He sucks. I don't want him No, boo him. And if he's sad about it, then let him get better so that next time, use it as be his motivation, be his fuel, help him get better by booing his ass tonight. None of this like, oh, tribute video, good to see you, glad you played.
This New York team, are they like good?
They are 8th in the standings, the Crew are 10th.
Okay.
8th is the final spot for the playoffs.
So we need this.
Yeah, this is a big game.
Okay.
Gotta get right. Laurent Courtois is now the manager of the Crew. Because they fired Rydstrom. Yeah, and he had them playing well before they had to take a month and a half long break for the World Cup. But they were playing well before that. So they got this game tonight. Then they've got Hell is Real on Saturday. Both games are huge. These are both two Eastern Conference foes. So you got to go get some points out of these games. So tonight, get the win. They did say Max Arfston will be back in the lineup. And, although, I mean, he's available for selection. They didn't say he's playing necessarily, but
Why
he's back.
Why would he be?
Why? No, because, you know, guys from the World Cup, when they've been traveling around for the World Cup, they sometimes don't have those guys play right away. Steven Moreira played for Cape Verde and they had their massive run where they surprised everybody. He will also be on the field for your Columbus Crew. And that's the guy. Celebrate those guys. Those are your hometown heroes that went out and played in the World Cup and have come back and been awesome.
Get him a standing ovation.
Especially Steven Moreira. My God. He was one of the best players in the tournament.
What's the goalie for New York that we going to boo?
Matt Freeze. Boo this man. Boo him.
I'm going to send him a direct message.
Okay. What are you? You a member of the Lunatic Fringe, Divas? Are you you messaging recruits? Is that what you're doing now? Don't do that. It's the Lunatic Fringe. Speaking of Lunatic Fringe, there's a guy who he got hit up by the Lunatic Fringe. A recruit making a decision tonight. Will the Buckeyes get this big-time running back? We'll tell you in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing our first crash of our Wednesday morning right now, and it's happening on the east side of Columbus, really just south of Whitehall. The right lane is blocked on 270 South. That's just when you're passing 70 out there because of a crash. But hey, at least some good news if you live in Canal Winchester. Only a 4-minute commute on 33 in that westbound direction. Not too bad whatsoever as you're heading towards Gender Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Sent You. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome and that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
DaBucks06 said, no way 95 Cleveland beats the top five teams in today's Major League Baseball in a 7-game series.
Facts.
Love to see it. Would love to see it. I don't know if they're beating the Dodgers. I'll give you that.
No, they're not.
I said I don't know. But I'm saying I don't know about any other team. Because, I mean, what are we talking about? Go put them up against
Go put the
Cleveland Indians / Guardians from 95 up against a team that spent the most money in baseball this year. That'd be the New York Mets.
You know who?
They'd wipe the floor with that Mets team. Are you kidding me? Juan Soto would be like looking at everything as just sails over his head. Wouldn't know what to do with Oral Hershiser. Now, get out of here.
The top teams in baseball is the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Rays, Atlanta Braves, Chicago Cubs.
Mizorowski would be out in the second inning. They'd send him over the wall. Are you kidding me?
They would look at him.
Jim Thome sitting on a fastball waiting for 105? Nope. That thing would go 6,000 feet. What are you talking about?
They would be looking at Jacob Mizorowski like, what the hell was that? Is this dude a magician?
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Yep, absolutely.
No.
Hitters 30 years ago wouldn't even know what they're looking at. They'd flip the bat out and it'd go into left field, no problem. Dropping in hits left and right.
Hold on. First of all, Mark McGwire would take everybody over the fence.
Absolutely. Well, he had plenty of help.
Yeah. No. He had no help.
Yeah, he did. Sure he did.
He had an eye for the ball.
Barry Bonds is someone that I think could hit in any era.
Yeah, of course he could.
Mark McGwire could too.
Nah.
Better hitter.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Let him live.
Barry Bonds was owning the stuff.
That's fine.
Gotcha. Okay. Mark McGwire wasn't. I got you. I understand.
Gotcha. Yep. That's fine. Yeah. Is this just Hot Take Wednesday now? We're just going with that's fine.
I'm just saying.
All right. So more of that discussion in a second. But the big thing for tonight, Ohio State is one of three teams along with Tennessee and Ole Miss that are in on a recruit by the name of David Gabriel George's 2027 running back recruit, making his decision today at 5:30. Now, for
remember when this used to mean something?
This is Tyvus. Here's the thing.
This used to be like people would be waiting by their phones, be watching in live to the press conference. Nowadays, Who cares? This is where he's going to play his freshman season.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, because I heard so many people. So if you haven't followed this story at all, this guy, a lot of people thought he was like crystal balled for Ohio State. But then apparently over the last few weeks, there's been some rumblings that
crystal balled to Tennessee, I thought.
He didn't flip anything. The people guessing at this stuff flipped their projection from Ohio State to now Tennessee. Part of it is believed to be, you know, there's money at play. There's, you know, whatever, fit, all this stuff. But the main thing I heard, at least, I don't know if you heard this, Tyvus, that thing about he apparently wears number zero as a high school athlete. Mm-hmm. That's what he wears.
Yeah. Well,
so he wants to wear number zero wherever he goes in college. And apparently Ohio State, rightfully so, told him, this is, again, speculation. But the theory is that Ohio State told him, hey, yeah, you can wear zero eventually when you get here. You have to earn it. We have a special thing with that. We don't just give that out to anybody. That's the block O. We give that to a special player. You could be that guy, but you're not getting it as a freshman. Or it's up in the air if you're going to get it. And so that apparently is part of what's determining where he's going to go. Anyway, now the big thought is that he's going to go to Tennessee. And I saw a bunch of Buckeye fans yesterday being like, this is awful. How did we miss out on this guy? He's a five-star running back. This is the key to the class. We needed this guy. Calm the F down. Did you forget about the last 3 years of football? What's been going on? None of this. This doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because I know people are going to say that's big loser talk from us. Buckeye fans say it doesn't matter if you get this guy now that he seems like he's going somewhere else. It could sound like loser talk, but it's not. Because I've said this about the guys who did come here and said, that's cool. I'll care about them in 2 years when they actually start playing. Good job, everybody, recruiting these guys. I'm glad you're winning the recruiting battles mostly. Maybe not this guy.
Well, Ryan,
but the reality is we don't know how many of these guys are going to stick around past their freshman year anyway.
That's true. But Ryan Baker pointed out yesterday that Ohio State skipped getting a running back in last year's recruiting class because they were all in on him.
Oh, no. So then what? So then this, guess what they're going to do this year?
They're going to have to hit the portal.
They're going to look for a,
what's the song?
Hey, if Ahmad Hardy doesn't, shoot himself in the leg and has another 1,000-yard season, if he's healthy and ready to go, call up old Eli Drinkwitz and say, sorry, buddy, this guy wants to win? Come up here. We got guys from the SEC before. Remember the dude we just had, Quinshon Judkins? Got him from Ole Miss? We'll go find that guy. Look, you can pay this guy. You can find this guy. This guy can play for you next year. Or, I mean, not next year. It's 2027 is when he's coming in. So, I'm just saying, the phrase you got to remember with this guy's not playing for the Buckeyes, you got to add this phrase when it comes to recruiting. ... yet. That's what you have to say on all these dudes. Yeah. He's not playing for Ohio State. It looks like he's projected to go to Tennessee, so he probably won't play for the Buckeyes. ... yet. Now, if it turns out Ohio State gets him, great. But I'm also not going to be doing backflips and be like, it's the greatest day in recruiting ever. I'm going to say, yeah, hopefully he sticks around. I don't get too high or too low on high school recruiting, folks, because
I'm not
seeing it now with the portal.
There's a long gave up the days that a 17-year-old kid was going to ruin my days.
Yeah. Especially not now. Especially not in an era where you just go, you can, by the way, what's Tennessee's track record with keeping guys happy when they're big time recruits that go to Tennessee? How's that worked out for them?
They got David Sanders.
Good. Great. My guy. Sure.
He's the tackle. The left tackle that the Buckeye, it came down to Tennessee and Ohio State.
Okay.
And Tennessee just outbidded him.
Okay.
Yeah,
what class is he in?
He was in last year. I think he was a freshman. So what was that?
2024 class?
Okay, probably. Great. Yeah. So you can go ahead, and if he is that good, go hit at the portal this year and say, hey, you want to come back? I'm just saying they can do that.
They probably outbid Ohio State for Chaz Coleman too, clearly.
I'm just saying
that's cool.
That's fine. How'd that work out for them? Exactly.
He
right.
He was homesick.
Hey, fine. My point is, let Tennessee do what they want. I'm not trying to say it doesn't matter that you don't get this running back. I agree with Baker that you will have holes on your roster if you don't find guys who can stick around and play. All that is agreed. I'm just reminding everyone that come January, you can go shopping again at the awesome running back store or the awesome linebacker store or the incredible offensive lineman store. Now, it costs money, but Ohio State should have more of that than anybody. So, no, I'm not panicking because they didn't. If this turns out that this guy goes to Tennessee, just remember, yet.
Yeah.
Just keep those phrases in mind.
I mean, they already have camp set up at AAA Tuscaloosa. Why not add AA Knoxville?
Right on.
Yeah,
exactly right. Go down there, see if they can actually play. If they can, maybe if they can hang in the SEC, maybe they'll be good enough for the Big Ten. We'll see. That's where I'm at. So if he wants to go, and by the way, if the guy wants to come in and he won't play for you because you won't give him his number, does that sound like a guy that as a freshman you need to have on your roster? No. if that's the guy he ends up being as a sophomore, junior, and senior, or whatever time he plays, then he may not be worth the trouble.
Will Tennessee ever
But maybe be, after his freshman year, he'll realize that stuff doesn't matter. I actually want to play ball.
Will Tennessee ever be good again?
You got
me. They had the 1 year where they like beat Alabama. I can't remember. What was that, like 23 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, it's been... And I think that was the only season.
That was, yeah, they're, been, I don't know. I don't know what people see in Tennessee, but they see something, apparently, something I've never understood. The SEC isn't opposed to breaking away from college football. What should the Big Ten do in response? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching a crash for you over on the east side of Columbus. Once again, that right lane is blocked 270 in that southbound direction. Once you're passing that 70 interchange just outside of Bryce, for example, in that area, so a heads up for you. Also, if you're traveling towards New Albany, we are seeing some slowdowns get a little bit worse, especially 161 eastbound, passing 62 over towards Beach Road, down to 26 miles per hour for your speeds. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Grove City. Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tyvus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world.
T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
The line to call, the Fan, the T-Bone and Tyvus voicemail, it's there for you. 614-460-8010. We have Ask Tyvus Anything coming up at 7:30. You could leave us an Ask Tyvus Anything question on the voicemail line. You can also weigh in on whatever we've been talking about, which apparently includes now revisionist history, going back and deciding if teams from like the 90s could beat teams from this current era. The team that came up was the 95 Indians/Guardians.
Who, a team that didn't even win a World Series in their own era. We got people called in saying, yeah, they would win 120 games.
Dylan, how many teams,
what are we talking about?
How many teams now would be able to handle the lineup that that team went up against with the Braves pitching staff? There's not many. Like, maybe the Dodgers. Again, I'll give you the Dodgers. But, like, of the current baseball teams out there, I just don't think any of those... You have Greg Maddux thinking about pitches from 3 years ago and remembering which pitch the guy can't hit. You're telling me these guys now, who can't even hit out of a shift, would be able to touch Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine? No chance. No chance. Those series would go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, every inning with most of these hitters.
By the way,
except maybe the Dodgers.
Golf Central Ohio said, I want them to retroactively use ABS on Greg Maddux to see how many strikeouts you take away.
Hey, I'm with them. Fine. He got the corners. But that was the game back then. He did get the corners. And you know what? I bet now. By the way, he would still get guys out because they don't know how to hit these days. They don't.
They just hit differently.
Yes, and they can't. They're all about exit velocity and launching it a million feet in the air, and that's all they give two bleeps about.
That is true.
Meanwhile, guys like Tony Gwynn would be told, you can't even play. Because you're just a contact hitter that gets on base literally every freaking time? Why do we want that? We want guys who can hit it out of the yard. And so, yeah, I think there's a whole discussion to be had there with baseball specifically. I don't think the other sports this applies, but baseball, I'm with you.
Mark McGwire. Any error.
But we had a voicemail about this. Go ahead, Dylan. Who is this from? Do we know? Or he'll tell us, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's play it.
This is Dan from Cardington. You cannot tell me the NBA is better now than it was in the mid-90s.
Yes, I can.
Hard disagree. Yes. Like, not with Dylan. Was it Dan, right? I appreciate you listening. Yes. But no, I think this only applies to baseball. But I'll be fair. That's a sport I know the worst of the three, three major pro sports, right? Baseball, football, and basketball. Like, I watch football and basketball way more than baseball. So maybe I am mistaken, all right? But, like...
You don't think...
There's no chance the guys in the NBA, the rank-and-file guys, are doing anything against the current NBA players.
I think that what he means by that is that the scoring. I think they scored better in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Based off of what?
Because today, if you turn it on, it's just a bunch of three-point shooting. I think that now, back in the day, they were really focused on three levels. You know, they could do turnarounds. They dominated the mid-range shot. They shot threes. For example, the closest player that plays like the mid-90s and early 2000s is SGA. He's MVP.
SGA plays like that.
Yeah.
Luka plays like that.
Well, Luka also shoots threes a lot, though.
Yeah. But this is a part of the game.
I'm talking about like turnaround fades, pulling up, dribble pull up to the midi. Like,
footwork
on getting to the lane and finishing. Like,
Tyvus,
one of the guys who is back to back MVP and is deemed as the best player in the NBA has a very 90, early 2000 ish style of play.
You know who else has a very 90 ish style of play? Guy who won an NBA title, Jalen Brunson, to your point. What I'm saying, though, is that...
I agree with that, too.
Jalen Brunson plays like that.
Yes, he does.
But the whole point I'm making is that if you go watch an average NBA game from that era, you will find guys doing turnaround jumpers from 12 feet, doing little, like, hesitation pull-up stuff from 18 feet, and bricking them constantly.
The post game is non-existent in today. We don't even see nobody hit a Hakeem Olajuwon shake.
I agree with that. I don't see none of that anymore.
You don't see Jokic doing that stuff?
No, you do see Jokic, but he's also a guy who won MVP. Like,
so was Hakeem. Hakeem was an average player in the 90s.
I'm saying, like, there were more guys who had some more of that because the game was played under the basket. Shaquille O'Neal would obviously be an outlier, too. If you put Shaquille O'Neal in his prime in today's game, that'd be a very interesting matchup because nobody could check him. No one could check him. But I got news for you.
No one
could check him back then either. Like, what are we? Yes. No one could stop Hakeem. No one could stop Shaq. Jordan was awesome.
Shaq would be a defensive liability.
Shaq, that's the thing. Yes. You would have all these guys going out and shooting threes.
All centers is pulling him out there, the paint.
Yes, and so he would never be in the paint. Or he would be, and you just have guys raining threes. That's the part of the game that just is so different to me now is you would have guys who would not know what to do with having 100 guys in the league who can pull up from 35, 40 feet and not even blink. Like, how are you defending that?
I'm not even pulling a random game. Take game one of the 97 finals.
Go look that one up.
You got two teams that can't hit a damn shot. And then all they're doing is fouling each other, and we're acting like that's better basketball than it is today.
You go watch the first 5 minutes of that game, and you
1997, game one. Here it is. Bang.
You go watch that game, and it is
Chicago versus Utah.
Jordan's bricking shots. Everyone's bricking shots, man.
Hold on.
It's terrible basketball compared to what you see now. It is terrible basketball.
We got the tip off. Chicago wins the tip.
You watch this for the rest of the show.
said I only need to watch a couple minutes. Hold on.
We only have 2 minutes till the break. Can't you watch it in the commercial break?
Inbounded to Jordan in the post with the turnaround. He
bricks it.
Misses
it. Yes, exactly. I'm telling you.
John Stockton coming up the court.
That was fake news because Jordan never missed a shot in his entire life.
John Stockton, layup, bang, goes in. There it is. Backdoor cut layup. Y'all wrong.
Tell me about
it. Y'all are wrong. Nobody made a shot in the first 2 minutes.
Nobody made a shot, not a layup. Layup is not a shot. That's a gimme. That's different. By the way, the SEC media days are going on. We didn't talk a ton about this yesterday, but I don't want to necessarily get into as much about what, you know, Greg Sankey said, where, you know, he brought up that there's conversations happening about the SEC breaking away. And it's like, okay. One, I don't believe that. Do you believe that? That the SEC is truly delusional enough that they think they could survive on their own?
Oh, they definitely are delusional enough for sure. Yeah, 100%.
Maybe a few coaches are. Maybe a few ADs are.
100%.
Do you think Greg Sankey, this savvy operator.
Oh, Karl Malone just hit a turnaround fade, too. Just want to put that out there. Three minutes into the clip.
3 minutes in, it's what is it? Four to nothing. I'm telling you, man, it was different back then. All right, so here's my question. What should the Big Ten do? If let's say this response is something like, should the Big Ten, next week's the media days.
Should
Tony Petitti come out and be like, yeah, we are in contact with the SEC. We're doing that too. We'll do it with them. We're going to both go do this.
I think.
Or should they say, no, SEC, screw you. You're not doing that. We don't like some of the NCAA stuff, but we're not going with you. That's stupid.
The Big Ten should say, SEC, you're free to leave. We're here now. You're not the big dogs anymore. We are the big dogs. And you should want the SEC to leave. And then you go ask for more money.
Yeah.
You say, well, since whatever cut they had, give it to us since we the big dogs.
See, that's what I'm telling you. It's like,
that's what you should do.
I feel like there's a segment of like college football, Big Ten fandom that has thought, well, it'll be the Big Ten, the SEC, and then everybody else. No, let the SEC go do that. Go have
Jordan
fun.
Just came down. Turn around. Shot. Very
you
next
guys
possession.
Are watching this game. We're doing other
possession.
Things.
And he got them 12s on. Oh, playoff 12s on. It's 10 minutes and 20 seconds. The score is 4-2.
Thank you.
All right. More discussion about what should the Big Ten do in response to the SEC. We'll get into that, obviously. And, hey, what needs to go right for Ohio State to win a national championship this year? We'll tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, tonight, we're going to be seeing some more downtown repairs in the area, starting with lane closure 71 southbound from 670 over towards Main Street. You will only have one lane for you, and that's starting once again tonight at 8 p.m. We also have some ramps closed nearby, including that 670 westbound and that 670 eastbound ramps to 71 southbound. So a heads up if you have some downtown plans tonight, especially if you're heading out towards that Columbus Crew game. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds won their third game in a row last night when they beat the Seattle Mariners 4-2 in the Emerald City. The Redlegs hit three homers in the game, and Chase Burns got his 12th win on the season. Since he will go for the sweep this afternoon on the Fan 2 with coverage starting at 3:10. The Cleveland Guardians won again last night. They beat the Minnesota Twins 5-2. They'll go for three in a row tonight with first pitch at 6:40. The Clippers are also in Minnesota. They'll take on the St. Paul Saints this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And Jake Diebler confirmed that the basketball Buckeyes will be taking trips to Miami and Puerto Rico next week to play two scrimmages to prepare for the upcoming season. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
All right, I've decided that I'd care about nothing else other than this discussion now that we've been having about how 90s baseball players could come forward to this modern era and do well. Some of them. We brought up, the caller brought up earlier, that he thought that the 95 Cleveland Indians / Guardians could have done everything they needed to against anyone in this modern era.
He said win 120 games. That's
what he said. That's exactly what he said.
That's what he said.
Now,
they couldn't win 120 games 30 years ago, but they would do it now.
Okay. Yeah. Because everybody forgot how to hit. And all it is like, I think absolutely right. I agree with them that they would be one of the best teams in baseball if they came forward now, just like they were back then. I don't know if they're beating the Dodgers, but I think they'd beat about everybody else. And so that has led to a discussion about the broader appeal of, can a player, could a team, could an era of the 90s, let's say, in other sports, come forward? I don't think they could in other sports. I do think they could in baseball. I don't know.
You don't think the Chicago Bears in the 80s could win an NFL game today?
Jim McMahon would be the 40th best quarterback in the NFL today.
What does that mean? Come on. Absolutely right on that.
It means what I said.
Absolutely right on that.
Their defense wouldn't give up anything.
They wouldn't?
No.
Dude.
They had the best defense ever.
Okay. I acknowledge their greatness. But what I will say is the players today are faster and stronger than any of the players from that era.
I just watched the team win the championship this past year off of just straight defense.
they ain't going to be playing around and putting their nose tackle in on running back in at running back in the Super Bowl in 2026.
They get to the goal line, they will.
Hang on.
The tush push.
Hang on.
Imagine the tush push with the fridge. I take back what I said.
Yeah,
if you put him under center for the tush push.
Oh, fridge? Yeah.
It's over with.
William Refrigerator Perry, absolutely. Sure, we'll give you that. I agree with you on that. But I also think if you put Sam Darnold in that era, in 1985 NFL, he's like a top three quarterback, right?
Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Marino, Montana, or Elway, and then, those guys, and then outside of those two or three guys, then it's him. Like,
depending on who's calling the plays. What style are we running the ball? Because I'd argue that the Seahawks ran the ball in the Super Bowl. I mean, yeah, Kenneth Walker had 135 yards rushing.
We got a call, right?
And MVP.
We got a call to the voicemail line. This is, again, the number 614-460-8010. But we got a call about, because we've also been talking about the NBA, and I don't think the NBA largely would be able to move forward from like the 90s. I don't think you bring the 90s players up to this era. I think the guys from this era would be wildly successful back.
4-4, 8 minutes and 30 seconds left on
Davis
the clock.
Is still watching.
Still watching.
Game one of the, what was that, 96 or 97?
They just so happened to show the field goals. Utah's 2-for-7, Chicago's 2-for-6, yes. Jordan himself is 1-for-3.
Yep. This is what
dude,
we love.
I'm telling you.
My God, Michael.
Yeah, yep. and it was that era that everyone pines for. Yep. But yeah, whatever. All right.
So good.
Good. Do we have someone on from the voicemail line? Who do we have?
He doesn't say his name.
All right. Well, great. Here we go. Let's find out who it is.
The whole reason why 90s NBA would be better than today's NBA is because they play defense. So we have an inflated offense because they don't focus on defense. You know, and they were rougher in the 90s. It wasn't bully ball. It was like just man ball. This is a very feminine sport now, and it was not that way in the 90s.
Okay.
They played defense.
Okay.
It's not a hard argument.
I mean, I think
Dylan will screw it up because that's what he does. But, I mean, you know, 90s ball was much better.
Cut him off. You can't cut him off, Dylan. Cut him off. All right.
I think the big...
First of all, let's address the feminine versus man ball argument.
Well, I'd argue the feminine is more aggressive than
men. I was going to say, which feminine form of basketball are we talking about? Are we talking about the WNBA where apparently Caitlin Clark needs an armored car and congressional intervention to protect her from the violence of the WNBA? That sport that everyone says is too violent for Caitlin Clark? That sport, apparently, is that the feminine that we're talking about? What sport are we talking about? But also,
how did Dilly catch you straight?
No, the
I love that. I do love that. Thank you for the call. I do love just for that. I love it. It's the best call. Thank you.
I'll cut that up. The biggest misconception is that they quote played better defense in the 90s. No, they were just allowed to foul by the letter of the law in the 90s, and now they're not. Okay,
yes, that's it.
If the average defender from the 90s were to come try to check SGA, he would foul out in the first quarter. He wouldn't know what to do.
By the way, if Draymond Green was allowed to do the things Draymond Green wants to do, my God, there'd be guys dead on the floor. What are you talking about? I'm saying, you have guys now who are extremely physical, who are extremely tough, who are not allowed to foul the way they were back in the 90s. If you put those guys back in the 90s, they'd be taking people's heads off. No one would come in the paint against some of these dudes. I don't agree with at all.
Let me get this right. Y'all saying that Gary Payton wouldn't be good in today's
I'm not
NBA.
Saying that there's not the top players in every era. That
we're talking about the average guys.
That's the average guys.
Well, I mean,
the rank and file now is far better than the rank and file from the 90s NBA. 100%. Go watch. Again,
I'm watching.
I'm not trying. No, you're watching an NBA final. You're watching.
Even they should be at their best.
You're watching their best, and you're seeing what? It is not nearly as good as the product you see when you watch a random NBA game.
It looked like it's hard to score, except Carl Malone.
It's hard to score because they can't shoot. That's it. No, I'm telling you, the skill level in the NBA is so vastly different than it was back then. And again, to the caller's point, it was a much more violent game. I don't think that makes them better basketball players. That
means with the hook.
Every high school.
8-8, 5 minutes and 33 seconds left in the first quarter.
Yes.
8-8.
Yes.
I don't know if everyone's high school had this, but the league I played in, which was very low level high school basketball, every team in our league had one guy like this, because they had, we had soccer guy or football guy that came and played on the basketball team to stay in shape. And that guy just ran around and clobbered people until he got fouled out of a game, typically. Could not play, like, had no skill, all that. When you go watch these old NBA games, there's way more of that level. Again, not that level of player. There's way more guys who look like that guy that are just out there running around, just being physical, who have no real skills compared to what you see today. It's, look, there were great skill players. I acknowledge that in the NBA. I watched it. I'm 43 years old. I've seen it, and I watched it all
the
time.
Soon to be 44.
Yes, I'm going to be 44 this year. That's the way to say it. I'm just pointing out that, like, I was there for it. I watched it all with my own eyeballs, and then I go back now and I watch it again, and I see what I remembered seeing, which is, yeah, it's a different game now. It's a much more skilled game, and by the way, still extremely physical. I don't know how you watch the NBA now and say it's not physical, but whatever. Either way,
the calves are soft.
They are. I didn't say so, they'd go back and do it. I didn't say they would.
Everybody's physical.
I didn't say that. There are teams that are, though. Not them. Not them. Jared Allen would be gone. He'd be running and hiding. Yes, he's not ready for the physicality of this game.
Here we go. Field goal. Update. Four shot. This Utah is 4 for 16. Chicago is 5 for 12. Karl Malone is 1 for 7. Just wanted to throw that out there.
This is guys who talk about 90s basketball. This is the pinnacle of your era. It's Jordan versus the Jazz. It's the whole, it's Hall of Famers everywhere on the court. Nobody can hit a shot. Go watch it. Yeah. Game one of the 97 finals.
It's 4 minutes and 21 seconds.
It's on YouTube. This. Go watch it. Yeah. Tell me what. And then go watch any NBA game now and tell me that looks better than the NBA that you're watching now.
And Karl Malone won MVP that year, by the way. He can't even hit a shot.
Which, to be fair, is a joke. Like, it's one of those things that they did with LeBron earlier in his career, too. It's like, well, we can't give it to him again, so we'll give it to, like, Steve Nash this time, I guess. And it's like, fine, if we're taking LeBron out of it, then sure, give it to Steve Nash. If you take Jordan out of it, sure, give it to Karl Malone. But what are we doing? That doesn't make any sense. I didn't get to the, what does Ohio State need to do to win a national championship? ESPN had this. Tyvus, if you had to guess real quick, what are the three things Ohio State needs to have happen this year? You know what? Save it. You're going to guess what they are, and then I'm going to tell you if you're right. Coming up next, T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday. The right shoulder is now the thing that's blocked over on the east side after a crash on 270 southbound just when you're passing 70 out there. And hey, a heads up, if you're traveling 71 northbound, more cars noticed by Greenlawn Avenue. A lot of people using that ramp to head 70 eastbound towards downtown. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Pizza.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
You'll notice it's less humid out there this morning, and that mugginess keeps on going down throughout the day. We'll see a mostly sunny sky today with pleasant high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, another winter. Morning lows in the 50s, afternoon highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, prom king, listen up, because this one applies to you. Just because you're getting older, you're turning 44 this year, doesn't mean you have to feel like it. If your energy is low, sleep is off, weight won't budge, your mind feels foggy, and worst of all, if your sex drive, T-Bone, ain't what it used to be, It's time to switch things up. You go see my people at Tri-State Men's Health, because if you are feeling a decrease in libido, putting on weight, less productive at the gym, poor poor sleep patterns, or sad or depressed, then you need to go to TriStateMensHealth.com and take their low T quiz. After that, you want to schedule a consult with TriState. That's only $99 right now. There's two locations located in Columbus. One is in Hilliard, the other one's in Westerville. Call today and take the first steps towards feeling better again. Call them at 800-900-9654 or visit TriStateMensHealth.com. Featured therapies are compounded and have not been evaluated nor approved by the FDA. Provider prescription required. See websites for details.
All right, Tyvus, if I asked you, what are the things, the three biggest ifs? If these go right for Ohio State, they win a national championship. I ask you because ESPN's Bill Connolly, he did this for like the top contenders in college football. He had Ohio State right up there in the list of, like, these are the nine teams that if everything goes right for them, they could probably win a national championship. Okay. Yeah. So three big ifs for this Ohio State team. If you had to guess, what do you think was picked?
Whoever the receiver is opposite of Jeremiah Smith is good.
That's one. He said Jeremiah Smith has to have battery mates. He brought up the Carnell Tate. Obviously leaves.
Yeah.
So if that production can be replaced by one of the other guys, which is not an easy thing, that will obviously mean great things for this Ohio State offense. So you got that one right.
This is ESPN saying these things.
Bill Connolly.
It's probably a lazy take, so I'm going to say the run game improves.
You know what? No. I'm gonna say no.
The guy that's not doing his research.
This is wait, you just said that was a lazy take.
Proves my point. Now it's a layup. It was a layup.
So you think the running game is one of the big three things that has to improve? Now,
I believe that teams that win championships in all of football have to be able to run the ball at a great pace, especially when you get into the postseason.
Let me see.
It's
maybe
a fact.
He's got a take here that maybe if I wanted to do mental gymnastics, I could kind of twist into that, but I'm not going to say
special teams.
No.
Takeaways.
He didn't talk about special teams.
They didn't talk to Urban Meyer about this, so they didn't bring up special teams.
Takeaways on defense.
Okay. I can pretzel myself into that one. He said if the portal delivered a pass defense, basically saying like last year's pass defense was awesome. You know, Matt Patricia had all these pieces to work with, but now a lot of those pieces are gone. So the guys they went out and got in the portal. So yeah, pass defense I think would
more
be kind
like
of
a pass rush.
Well, yeah, he brought up four of his top five linemen, six of his top nine defensive backs are gone. Coach Ryan Day added two transfer ends, two tackles, two corners, two safeties. He's just saying the pass defense in general, meaning getting after the quarterback, secondary, making picks. So I think you guys are kind of on the same page there. The third one he had for what it's worth is can Ohio State pick up the pace? New offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. Yeah, because last year, remember, famously,
They played one less game than everybody.
They were so proud of that. And guess what? They got to play a lot more less games than some of those contenders because they got bounced. So, hey, good for you. Hey, they won that battle.
They played about two less games than they should have.
Oh, my God.
Didn't matter at the end when you don't play any more games. And I do think that that is an accurate take, is that, like, I never understood it last year. We all hoped, I hoped at least, that they would be able to kick it into gear when they needed to. We found out they couldn't. They couldn't do it against a good team. So this year, I hope they drop that BS of like, we got to play fewer play. Just stop that. Go out there and play like Ohio State. Whatever you think the best version of Ohio State is, play like that. Don't play for some future mythical games that may not happen if you can't go fast when you need to on offense. So his point was that Arthur Smith has to show up and hopefully change some of this offense. Now, I don't know if that'll happen because what is Arthur Smith famous for liking to do? Running the ball and
getting the tight ends involved.
Yes. And those tend to
be. That's not true because he takes shots too. As I watched him practices, it was very, we're going to run the ball, but then we're going to hit you over the top with a deep shot. So I think it's a very balanced attack.
I hope that's the case. And I hope that that's what we see. But I'm looking at it from, you know, the outside in. I don't want to see something like last year where we're so proud of how few plays we run. Unless those few plays are being run because every other time down the field, you're taking a shot and it's hitting and you're going one play 70 yards. Well, then you don't run as many plays that way, but there's more offensive possessions. I just want this team to actually, you know, have the offense on the field more often and go win those plays and not just get down to the red zone and then not be able to do it. So yeah, a lot of questions there, but I think you're mostly on the same page. So anything else that we've missed that it
special teams.
Yeah, I'd go. You know me.
I was on Rothman and Ice yesterday. Did an unbelievable hit section. It's probably one of my best ones that I've ever done in my life. But anyway,
people are saying that's what actually. I don't know if you know this. I came my ear to the streets, and the streets are saying best one you ever did. It's really what's. It's everybody saying
the
that.
The two that I pointed out was takeaways. Because it's the greatest equalizer in sports. You know, in football, if a team gets takeaways, they can compete with anybody. And there's nothing really too many people can do about that. And then special teams, because that's something that is a hidden thing that nobody talks about. But if you got a good returner and a good special teams, flips field position a lot.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think hopefully they got everything involved like what you're talking about. Hopefully in the portal, getting the new kicker from Baylor, right? Hopefully that dude can be nails.
Connor Hawkins.
Yeah. Hopefully Hawkins can be nails and have that eagle eye as he's out there and bang these field goals in. But I hope they also don't need him. I hope that most of the time the offense is good enough that you are not in a spot where it's like, man, we need him to come through and hit four field goals from 40-plus yards. I hope that's not what's happening on offense.
That's how I feel about the punter. I hope we never have to see him. I don't even know who it is.
True enough.
Is it the 6'7 guy? Ain't they got a punter that's 6'7?
Is that the dude from Australia, right?
Yeah, sure.
I hope not. I hope we don't have to say that around it. What is his name?
Ozzy.
I keep wanting to say Joel McHale, but that's not right. That's the dude from Talk Soup. That's a different end community. That's a totally different guy. I don't remember. Whatever. Let him live, whoever he is. Good job.
Is it Joe McGuire?
That's it. Yeah, Joe McGuire, not Joel McHale. Whatever. Same. Close.
I don't think there is a backup punter who's 6'7". Nick McLardy.
That's him.
Oh, but so Joel, whatever his name is, Joel McHale is not 6'7"?
No.
But he is Australian.
He's 6'2", 210 pounds and Australian.
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Sorry for those of you who are on the punting message boards. My bad. I didn't get that right.
How did you not know?
I know. How did I not? You know what? It's on me. It's a skill issue.
How do
you
get to talk about the Buckeyes for a living if you don't know the 6'7 backup punter's name?
It's a skill issue. It's a skill issue. I got a lot on my brain right now. Gary Bettman, going to be in charge of Blue Jackets broadcast this year. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
The NHL
I've seen that the ESPN, or not ESPN, somebody's taking over like broadcast.
That would be the NHL.
Okay.
Gary Bettman,
yes.
Commissioner of the NHL, taking over the Blue Jackets broadcast. So not just them. I found this, so the Blue Jackets broadcast are going to be handled by the NHL this year, as are a few other teams. The Minnesota Wild, the St. Louis Blues, and the defending Stanley Cup champion, Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
Doesn't that seem bad for the sport
that
the defending champs can't find? Because like all these regional sport networks have all blown up now.
Are you saying that they get Bob McGilligan ain't going to be?
No. I don't know that that's changing anything with the actual TV broadcast.
Okay.
Or I mean, Bob does the radio broadcast, obviously. But like the point here is the production will not be handled locally necessarily. The NHL is going to be in charge of it. Now they might still call up all the same people who did it last year and say, hi, we're your bosses now. We're paying your paychecks, not this other entity. But that means the NHL has some control over like the commercials, I'm sure, and whatever else. Interestingly enough, I saw that they're taking over those for all those different teams because I think it was Main Street Sports was the company that ran that FanDuel Sports Network. Well, they've apparently evaporated. So now that's not a thing anymore. So the NHL's handling it as far as the production. But I saw Mark Gregory, who, you know, runs all the media stuff for the Blue Jackets. He had a comment in their release where he said, we are continuing to work on our distribution platforms and look forward to announcing those details in the near future. Okay. So that means like the NHL's producing this and making all this stuff happen, but they don't yet know exactly where it's going to land. Or if they do, they haven't announced it yet, right? So doesn't sound like it's going to be on a FanDuel Sports Network. It sounds like it's going to have to be on something. I just want to make my plea, like, please put it on something that's locally available to everyone that is not paywalled. Like, I don't know if that exists anymore, but I don't know why. I don't know why right here. I don't know why we don't do something like that at 10TV. I would love to see us get that. I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if.
Would the NHL production people hire Dylan?
That's nothing to do with
it. Why wouldn't they? I mean,
they're TV. I do radio stuff.
So what?
But I am in the broadcast booth. I'm well connected over there.
Yeah.
I reached out yesterday.
You are?
Asked about this.
You still are?
Do you get any updates?
No one wanted to tell me anything because they know I have a big mouth and I would tell you guys. So, hey, got you know no what, information.
But that's called journalism. Dylan, what you did was called journalism. That's what it is. That's what you're supposed to do. You call them and say, hi, this is on the record. If you tell me, I'm telling everyone.
It's on the record.
That's all journalism is professional snitching. That's all it is. You call up, you get info, you tell the info. That's snitching.
Yeah.
It's good. We need professional snitching. I'm all about that.
They knew I was telling. So they said, yeah, we know what's going on, but we're not telling you. Thanks.
That's fine. By the way, the chat is still on fire about who would win what if we put the 90s players from the NBA or Major League
Baseball. Giannis would have 100 points a game.
I'm surprised you didn't bring this guy up because we argue about this guy all the time, and I'm also a fan of his, but I'm less of a fan of his than you are. If you put Kyrie Irving in the 1990s?
The second greatest basketball player of all time?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It would be...
You think Mike got crossed over by Allen Iverson?
Oh my God!
Mike would have came out.
Mike would have retired again. He would have had to retire again.
Oh, Mike would have came out his shoes.
Oh my God! No one could. Kyrie would score 50 a game in that NBA. I don't even know what we're talking about because like I love Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson's thing was he was tough and he had a handle and he could dribble and all that stuff. But like. Kyrie's handle is unlike anything I've ever seen in basketball. I will be flat out. And maybe Gary Payton could check him. I would love to see that matchup, those two in their prime. Outside of those two, there's no one stopping Kyrie Irving in that league. Not a chance. Ask Tyvus anything 2 minutes away. You can tweet us at Bone and Tyvus 971 or hit us up on the YouTube chat. YouTube 971 The Fan, T-Bone and Tyvus. That's next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Starting to see more traffic trouble spots for you, including 70 in that westbound direction. When you're passing 33, a lot more cars just kind of clumped up by that East Livingston area. We also have some more delays being reported to 70 in that eastbound direction by Allen Creek Drive. We have a lot more people using that ramp to get off that interstate. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut, minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, a few pieces of business to take care of. One, we have the new voicemail line, 614-460-8010. Save it in your phone. Use it. Call us whenever you want. We've been playing voicemails all day. That's how we got into the discussion about could 90s players come forward and play in this era. Players from this era go back to the 90s. We can have more of that discussion coming up. Also, I have an assignment for anyone going to the Crew game tonight. Crew are playing New York City FC. New York City FC features a guy by the name of Matt Freese, who is their goalie. He was the U.S. Men's National Team goalie. And I just want to make sure everyone is on the same page. I don't need to hear anybody in black and gold, Crew fans out there at the game tonight. I need to hear any of you giving this guy an applause for like, oh, thanks for playing for our national team. Yay. Boo him. Boo him loudly. One, because he's not playing for your team tonight, last I checked. You're rooting for the Crew. You're not rooting for U.S. soccer. That's all done. Second, he sucked when he was playing for U.S. soccer. So that's a whole other reason to boo him. No. And if anything, be his motivation to get better for the next World Cup. But that's tonight. The Crew get back on the field. They play New York City FC, and then they have Hell is Real this weekend. So a couple of massive games for them.
Which T-Bone won't be at any of them.
I can't go.
But he a fan, though.
Tyvus, I say this with all respect. Shut up. How about that?
I'm just saying.
How about that?
Resident national champion. It's time for Ask Tyvus Anything.
Sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Reliable, local, built right. Request your free roof assessment today at ramosroofing.com.
I would have told my kids to go touch grass.
But I don't give a about your kids.
My kids have stuff tonight and Saturday. Trust me, we're trying to get to games. I'm going to try to get into a League's Cup game. And when everybody, if you want to say, what's a League's Cup exactly?
Oh, wait a minute. I got an update.
I'm that guy.
I got an update.
Built different.
Update.
Go ahead.
Tony Kukoc. Big Boy 3.
How long have you been watching this
Big Boy 3.
Game 1 of the 97 finals?
I paused it, but this is 2 minutes into the first quarter. It's 3 minutes and 3 seconds left in the first quarter.
And what's the score?
12 to 13.
By the way, historically mocked if this was in the modern NBA. This is just like an average NBA game back then. Yeah.
Tony Kukoc, one of Michael Jordan's many Hall of Fame teammates on the super team he played for. That was the 90s.
Yeah, because your go isn't about to go to Miami to be with another Hall of Famer. You're right.
Jordan played with a bunch of them.
You're right.
Yeah.
Kukoc.
They all have.
A bunch of Pippen. Them.
By the way, Tony Kukoc, he could play now. Like, dude coming forward could play. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. He would be a problem in this league where everybody's supposed to shoot. That guy could shoot back then. Big guy, get out there, space the floor. I'd love to see what he could do. All right, Tyvus, here are some Ask Tyvus Anything questions, I think. Where'd they go? All right, here's number one. Alex, the king of the chat. Alex says, Ask Tyvus Anything. Amongst your many travels, which city, excluding Columbus, has the best food scene in America? And I'm gonna add to that, excluding Cleveland as well, because you're from Cleveland, so you don't get to pick Cleveland. You don't get to pick where you live now. Somewhere you've traveled to.
I've had some good food in a lot of places. I tell you what, when we went to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans,
yeah,
they got some really good seafood down there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good seafood in New Orleans. So I enjoyed
New Orleans food scene has been legendary. So that tracks. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I got a chance to go to a steakhouse in New York. I can't remember the steakhouse. I went with my wife, and that steak was good. The sides was trash, but the steak was good.
Was it a Peter Luger?
I'm not sure. No? Even if you said it, I wouldn't know because I can't remember. It was years
ago. That's like an old school place where they,
Also, the other place was Seattle. I love Seattle.
Seattle's food scene, when I've been out there, I feel like you could go 100 times and not get a bad meal.
Seattle has some good places to go to. Yeah, I do want to go to, I know Sherm and Cam Chancellor got a restaurant called Legion's Bar or something like that.
Oh, Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor own a restaurant in Seattle?
Yeah, and I want to go to it.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we as a show go out to Seattle?
You want to go to Seattle?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? A 3 a.m. show?
Yes, exactly right. And then we'll have the rest of the day to go out and eat all the delicious food in Seattle.
The funny thing about this is
when
I went to go cover Washington last year, I would wake up at like 2 in the morning and be up because like...
That was your body clock. Exactly right. Stay on the same schedule. I get it.
It was terrible.
I don't blame you. This one comes from Eddie D. Video. Ask Tyvus Anything. Inspired by the 95 Indians discussion, if you had to take one athlete of today, send them back 30 years to win the MVP of their respective sport, who would you pick?
Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kyrie Irving?
Well, he said one. So which one would it be?
Both of them is a lock.
Which one would you pick? That's the exercise. He didn't ask you for name anybody. He said name one. So you have to... This is it, Tyvus. You have to get it to happen the first year he goes back. He has to go win MVP. He has to be that dominant that everyone goes, I don't know who this kid is, but my
God.
That's what I would say. I agree with you.
Easy money.
Yeah.
Lock.
I mean, I do think your love for Giannis is... A bit over the top.
It's delusional.
But you put a man who's almost 7 feet tall in the NBA who moves like him, who can shoot like him.
How is he not what I say he is?
If you want, because your argument is like, man, he won a championship with Chris Middleton as his running mate. Okay, cool. Give him the greatest season ever if you want to. I don't believe that to be true, but sure.
Three rings. But after it's three rings in the last 10 years that got a lot of weight. Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors, Giannis with the Bucks, and Jokic with Denver.
Oh, no LeBron in Cleveland?
No. Okay. Yeah, Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
What? All right. a dude who should be a Hall of Famer.
If he can stay healthy enough, I think he will.
Kyrie ain't a top 75 player of all time. Yeah, right.
They say that?
He wasn't on the list. But if he comes to Cleveland,
it doesn't help when you're not playing.
If he comes, if LeBron decides to come to Cleveland, he'll have another one.
James Harden,
put it on there.
The ghost of Kyrie Irving, the phantom of Kyrie Irving. The idea. Look at his jersey; it's so good. When he's not playing, When he does play, he's awesome, but he doesn't play a lot. So that's a problem. He's injured all the time.
LeBron's injured too, and nobody says a thing.
LeBron's not injured like Kyrie Irving.
The man
what are we talking about?
Old man injuries. He misses the start of the season like 3 years in a row. What are we talking about here?
He 40 years old.
Wasn't it like,
he's been doing that his whole
wasn't
career?
Wasn't this the first year with the sciatica? Because I think that's what he literally had was his sciatica was acting up. That is an old man injury, 100%. But wasn't this like the first year that happened?
No, I feel like he did it in. I feel like he did it a couple of times in LA.
Fine. No, all the other times he missed it was like he was getting his hairline figured out.
I'm pretty sure he missed a great chunk.
Is that what he's doing now? Is that why we're not getting the announcement yet? Is because he's currently in Turkey, getting the surgery?
Is that what he's doing? I can't remember correctly. I'm pretty sure his either second or third season in LA, he missed like the first 30 games or something like that.
People want to talk about load management when Michael Jordan took 2 years off, but whatever. Hey, you take that argument.
How many times did he retire and then come back? And it's like, whatever. Yeah, that's fine. By the way, this is from yesterday. I didn't get to it, but Evan in the chat yesterday had something that I need to bring to your attention. Wife and I tried the fried apple pie from McDonald's. The baked one with the flaky crust is better. Bring back the baked apple pie.
I'm not hearing that, huh?
Have you guys tried the fried apple pie?
I told you I did.
What'd you think?
It was good. Ain't better than Popeye's, but it's good, though.
Is it better than the baked apple?
Yes.
Dylan, have you tried it?
I have not tried it, but I will never say give me something baked over something fried. That's just not in my nature.
Exactly right. Like, that's just, Evan, I'm glad you like the baked apple pie. I would say go to hell. Just because that's probably where it is. The baked apple pie in McDonald's and hell, that's where they serve it still. Here on like the real planet where everyone has taste buds, the fried apple pie is far superior. But thank you, Evan, for your comment. I appreciate you listening to the show. I don't appreciate what Urban Meyer had to say yesterday.
Loser talk.
I just want to point out, we are going to play audio from Urban Meyer where he agrees with a guy who is a noted loser, and both of them are sitting around like, oh, this is great. I really like it. You're going to hear that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the northeast side, just outside of Blendon Township, we are seeing a crash affecting that 161 westbound ramp to 270 northbound. So a heads up out there. You will definitely need to expect some lane restrictions out there and some slowdowns, already down to 30 miles per hour for those backups now extending towards Little Turtle Way. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All of the hair on their heads is slowly migrating to the lower part of their faces. And tracking. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Randall Gaddis in the chat says, FYI, the fried pies are fried in the same grease as French fries.
The McDonald's fried pies?
Yes. And I'm trying to figure out what's the problem. Was that a problem?
If you don't like that, I get out of here. Just get out. In fact, fire him.
Suck him.
Get him out.
Who doesn't want that? Why is that bad?
That sounds great. Hey, let's add some delicious McDonald's French fry taste to your already awesome fried apple pie. You're welcome. What a great bonus that is. Thank you, McDonald's.
I re-picked up a bat. You're going to say it's a bad habit, Tyvus. Bone, you're going to say it's a good habit. Mm. So my girlfriend bought me one of those like griddles for Father's Day.
Yeah, that's great.
Like a panini press?
No. It's like a flat surface. You just put stuff on top of it.
You can like, is it like one that goes across a couple burners? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's separate, but essentially it's the same thing.
Oh, okay. It works the same. Oh, it's like a plug-in griddle?
Yes, it's a plug-in griddle.
Yep. Okay. It's like a small Blackstone, but basically, it's like for inside your house.
So like what you cook the pancakes on. Yes, exactly.
I got you.
So it has the little like drawer thing for the grease.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Taking that out, putting it in the egg pan, put it in the pan with the potatoes.
Absolutely right.
Frying it up with that, the bacon grease.
Save it in a jar. People do that. People save the grease in a jar, and then you use it when you need need grease. You just grab that out and put it on. Yeah,
but why because not? I'm
and
at,
you wonder why you gain so much weight
back at my peak weight, and this is the kind of stuff I'm doing. I'll probably get a new PR, Tyvus. Maybe I'll get up to 215 by the time I turn
personal best.
You know what you should do?
A personal best on the scale.
You should work out and turn it into muscle.
Yeah, we'll see.
Does it do that? Does it just magically turn into muscle?
Just make us say, we'll see. That's a how about new?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I saw this from Urban Meyer on his podcast, which is called Three Dudes with a Podcast. Triple Option. Yeah. Where he was on, their guest apparently was Mac Brown. So Mac Brown also does a Texas podcast called Hey Y'all, remember us? I don't know what it's called. Hook but they do their own. Yeah, hook them. Don't do it upside down. No, everybody gets mad at you. We'll get mad. Anyway, Mac Brown and Urban were on the Triple Option. And they were talking about the landscape of college football and why you're not going to see as many of the big time matchups between, the Alabama and Ohio State game next year. Let's hope it gets played. These guys were talking about the wisdom, if you're a college football coach, of opting in to playing those type of games. And here is what you'll hear, I think, Mac Brown first and then Urban as well.
Our national championship year in 05, we played at Ohio State the second game. Back then, if you lose one early, you're out, man. You're dead. Are you better off playing El Paso, winning by a lot? You still have 105,000 people there. You still make all your money and you get in the playoff. Or do you play Ohio State, which is best for TV? It's best for the fans. The kids like it the best. The coaches love it the most.
It's best for college football.
But if you get beat, then you don't get in.
I say no. I'm going to go meet with Gene Smith and say, get him off our schedule.
I agree completely, coach.
Which breaks my heart.
What is best? Rob, we say what's best for college football. What's best to win the national championship?
And save your damn job.
The last part is all it's about.
Yep.
The last comment, to save your job. Now, the funny part about it all is, one, I got a couple of things. One, if you're a good coach, you don't worry about these things. You just don't. You know, if you are who you say you are, you want to compete against the best because you feel like you're the best. they're gunning for us. Like, I know what we're going to do. So that part gets me. And then, heck, you allowed to lose three games now.
This is the part that boggles my mind.
You allowed to lose three games and still be fine.
Tyvus, I was thinking about this because it on the surface makes no sense. Okay. On the surface, you say, because Mac Brown even says, man, hell, if we lose Ohio State, hey, we're one and done. We're out. And he's right.
Back
in the BCS era, back even in the four-team playoff, you lose one big-time conference, non-conference game, conference game, doesn't matter. You lose one of those games, it's going to be very iffy if you can get back into certainly the two, but let alone the four. Either way, that was still a very iffy proposition. So I would think in the case of the BCS, you have six times the teams now in the 12-team playoff, right? Going from 2 to 12. If we go to 24, you're going to have 12 times the opportunity to be in the championship hunt, theoretically. And yet what we're hearing from coaches is that's even more of a reason for me not to play. And here's what I think has happened. You tell me if you agree with this theory or not. What do we see in the lottery systems on the negative side, on the losing side?
Strength of schedule.
No. Go to other sports. I'm talking NBA, NHL, mm-hmm. right? Specifically the NBA. What is the epidemic going on in the NBA right now?
The tanking thing?
Yes. The NBA has been trying to figure out how to stop tanking. In the NFL, you have a tanking problem, but do you think it's nearly as bad as it is in the NBA? I don't. Because I think what happens in the NFL is,
first of all, the NBA, we got to cut this out. This year was not how most years are. This year, it was a lot of talent in the draft. A lot of quote-unquote generational talent. So that's why you're seeing so many teams tanking. I don't think usually it's that many teams. It's usually teams.
We've seen it 2 years in a row. The Mavericks had no business getting Cooper Flagg, and they had to tank at the end of the year.
When they realize, look, this is what I'm getting at. Because there's a lottery system in the NBA and somewhat to the NHL, you have teams that probably are good enough to try to compete. They start thinking, yeah, but if we just are bad enough to get in the lottery, maybe we get the number one pick. And that encourages teams to do something they shouldn't, which is to lose games when they probably should be trying to win. In the NFL, there's only two or three teams in the NFL every year that are so bad, they're going to get the number one pick or a top three pick. Mm-hmm. If you're like sitting there at 6-6, you know, three quarters of the way through the season, you're not tanking the last few games because you're like, what's the difference between a 13th pick and an 8th pick? There's no lottery to make you think, well, maybe we could get the first round pick. You know you're not getting it. So you just keep playing football, mm-hmm. right? Flip that around to what we have in college football on the positive side, on the winning side. Most teams used to think we have no shot of making the BCS or the top four teams in the playoffs unless we have a huge team on our schedule. We have to pull some upsets. We have to like be undeniably good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now you have a bunch of, so those teams knew pretty quickly after you lost a couple games, like, ah, we're probably, this is going to be tough. Now, with the playoff system we have the reverse of what's going on in the lottery. Teams that have no business thinking about, am I going to be able to get into the national championship picture? There's now 25 teams thinking like, well, hang on, I don't want to mess up my resume because that might screw me up for the playoffs. So now they're all thinking like, we got to schedule the worst teams because I want a shot to get in the playoffs because I get a bonus. That's guys like Eli Drinkwitz down in Missouri are thinking they got a shot to win a national championship
because
they're dumb.
No, the reason is, it's again, it goes back to Urban's last comment. He's trying to save his job because there is 12 teams. And you're at a certain college, like Ohio State, like Texas, people feel like no matter what, you should make the CFP. If you don't make the CFP, you should be fired. Especially mm-hmm. if they go to 24 and you can't make that, you're getting fired because you're not good. Like, you can't make a 24-team playoff. Like, at Ohio State, there should never be a time where we'd be like, they are not going to make the CFP. Mm-hmm. That's 12 teams they should be in every single time. So what's going on is now, because of that fear of potentially not making it, well, let me just schedule easy games. Let me get the easy games so I know that I'm always going to be in the playoffs. Because if I'm in the playoffs, you can never fire me because I've always made the CFP. It's a terrible logic. But I will say Ohio State's team last year is the perfect example of why you don't want to schedule just easy games. Because everybody mm-hmm. kept saying, Ohio State hasn't played anybody. They haven't played anybody. How can you say they're number one team? They haven't played anybody. And we kept saying, well, they played Texas. They said, well, Texas isn't where we thought they would be, so they haven't played anybody. Right. And then it gets to the time where it's time to play somebody, and they lost both games. So therefore, you go, right there. It's like, okay, so now you should get yourself ready and get a nice, balanced schedule so where you have played some people, but there is some cupcake games in there. Like, obviously, I think you need to, the way you schedule it is the thing that matters the most, but to sit there and say I want to play 12 easy cupcake games and then get to the CFP, like that I don't think that's a recipe for success if you're talking about national championships.
Well, to Bone's point, there's more teams that feel like they're in that boat of winning the national championship even though they're not, just because the amount of teams that get into the dance has increased. The perception is that there's now more contenders in college football.
Yeah.
So now there's more teams that want to duck smoke and just try to get to the playoff and then see what happens when they get there. And I was one of those people when the playoff expanded that wrongly thought we would get bigger games because of this. I did not think this was going to be the logic. Too.
I know. And it's such a loser mentality. And I'm so shocked to see all these coaches who are like, I know that they know they don't have a chance to win the national championship. So let's go try to schedule some big games to show what my team can do and maybe get a shot. Now they're all looking at it like, man, guys, we could be the 14th team in. We could be the 12th team in. We got to think about that. Let's not schedule anybody tough. That's a joke. That means 25 teams are going to be thinking that way. That is not good for college football if that's the prevailing thought. All your NFL questions are answered next in the huddle. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Way south of Columbus, it's pretty interesting. We are seeing a disabled vehicle causing some major slowdowns right now on 23. It's in that northbound direction at State Route 317, also known as London Grove Fort Road. That right lane is closed over by the Shadeville area. 8 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. We also have impacts to London Grove Fort Road southbound at South High Street. So once again, expect those lane restrictions out there. For that workaround, just get off and take State Route 104 Jackson Pike to head downtown. A much easier commute out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Sent You.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds won their third game in a row last night when they beat the Seattle Mariners 4-2 in the Emerald City. The Redlegs hit three homers in the game, and Chase Burns got his 12th win on the season. Cincy will go for the sweep this afternoon on the Fan 2 with coverage starting at 3:10. The Cleveland Guardians won again last night. They beat the Minnesota Twins 5-2. They'll go for three in a row tonight with first pitch at 6:40. The Clippers are also in Minnesota. They'll take on the St. Paul Saints this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And Jake Diebler confirmed that the basketball Buckeyes will be taking a trip to Miami and Puerto Rico next week to play two scrimmages to prepare for the upcoming season. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 Weight Loss results this summer with the solution for weight loss, Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tybus says that in all his years being in football locker rooms, he never once looked at another man's junk. He cannot say the same thing about working at this radio station. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
So I saw this yesterday. Apparently, we missed a pretty epic minor league baseball lineup. The Gwinnett Stripers. They are a AAA affiliate of the, I think the AAA, of the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Gwinnett, Georgia,
Gwinnett,
which is a suburb or, I don't know, an outlying exurb, whatever, of Atlanta, basically, okay?
Where the Braves also play in a suburb of Atlanta, not actually.
Oh, yeah, they play in Gwinnett. Do they? No, they play in Cobb County.
They play so far away from...
Right, yes. You're right.
Atlanta.
It's basically like, which ballpark are we going to, honey? The one that's the AAA one or the one that's the actual...
Buckhead.
So, here's... Some of the guys who were on the roster for the who are in the lineup for the Gwinnett Stripers yesterday, okay, leading off Ronald Acuna Jr. rehabbing an injury. That's pretty good. Hitting third, Carlos Santana. Also in the lineup, Rowdy Tellez, former Major League Baseball player. Also
Carlos Santana still going, huh?
Also in the lineup, Andrew McCutchen.
He's interesting.
Like
that's a former MVP.
Right. I'm saying, like,
did they win the game?
You know what? That's a great question. No, it was last. It was yesterday. I just saw the lineup this morning. I didn't see what actually happened. It said, "Oh, nope, they lost 7-4."
So that's a shame.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Sorry.
It's all right. Ronald Acuna Jr. got at least a hit. Like when he got a hit, he got a hit when he got up to bat in his first at bat. So
well,
that was good.
Tell
for him.
Me that they was playing the 1995 Indians.
It says they were playing the Cubs. So I'm guessing it's whoever the Cubs AAA affiliate is. So
Iowa Cubs.
Sammy Sosa was there.
That would be right. Yeah, it must have been.
The black one, not the white one.
Let him live. Hey, you know what?
Ernie Banks was also on in the lineup.
Does Sammy qualify now? Is he?
Oh my god!
I don't know. I just have to ask the question. I'm not answering the question. I'm just asking.
Wait a minute. What does Sammy look like now? I thought he went back dark.
I don't know. I don't know what was happening there. That's all above my pay grade. I don't know. But anyway, the Gwinnett Stripers had a lineup that featured Ronald Acuna Jr., Carlos Santana, and Andrew McCutchen last night. And they lost somehow. Not a great sign. All right, let's switch gears and do some NFL talk.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to The Huddle.
Sponsored by Advent. Go to adventknows.com because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
All right, Dylan Huddle, question number one, please.
All right, my first question to you guys. Who is the biggest lock to win their division this year? And the reason why I ask you this is because, to me, this seems like the most wide open the NFL has been in a while. And I was looking at the odds. The Ravens have the best odds to win their division at -115. And I was under the impression that they were in the same division as a future dynasty in the Cincinnati Bengals. So I was kind of shocked to see that they were the biggest favorite of every team to win their division.
Yeah, that's okay. Well,
the biggest lock to win their division.
I mean, initially, I would say, like, maybe it'd be the Patriots, but then...
They're not even the favorites. The Bills
are the
Bills,
favorites. Right. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, obviously, I think the Dolphins and Jets are going to suck.
Yeah, you like the Rams, even though they're in the same division as the Super Bowl champions?
Did the Seahawks win the division last year?
I think they did, yeah. They were the number one seed.
I'm saying...
The Rams. I'm going with the Rams.
Okay. Okay.
Book it.
I don't know that I would be as confident in that. I mean, God, that is a really tough question, too.
No, it ain't. The Rams.
Actually, you know what? No, it ain't. The Bears. There you go. Well, NFC North.
You over Detroit?
I'm over Detroit.
Green Bay.
Packers are overrated, and you know who's playing quarterback for the Vikings, so they can go to hell.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the Bears. I'll say the Bears. But you know what? That's a tough question.
Fish and Common Man would love to hear that.
And Beamer. Yeah, and all Beamer. The above. Yeah, there's you know got a lot of Bears fans around
you
know here.
AR would be mad at you.
Oh, yeah, he's a Vikings fan. That's right.
You know who's the favorite in the NFC North?
The NFC.
The Lions. The Lions are the betting favorite to win the NFC North. I don't understand it.
I don't understand either. I don't think in Detroit Lions fans believe that. I don't think they believe in their team, honestly. Yeah, but that's a real. You're right. It is a very wide open NFL this year. It feels like that.
They don't even got. They are the corner too busy hitting, sending hits.
He's
hitting licks.
He's not even there anymore, right? Terry Arnold is gone. They cut him. So, yeah. All right. Good question there. Huddle question number two.
All right. This question stems from Albert Breer basically saying that in the ideal world for the Raiders that Fernando Mendoza will not start any games or he won't start until later in the season and Kirk Cousins is going to get the majority of snaps. Who do you guys like for offensive rookie of the year? Jeremiah Love is the favorite at plus 400. Mendoza's still right behind him at plus 425. Then you got him followed by Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, and Jadarian Price.
I mean,
Jordan Tyson.
You don't think Carnell Tate's going to get the job done?
I think he will. I think Carnell Tate is going to be one of those guys that struggles early but comes on later in the season.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't think it's going to be Jeremiah Love just because I don't...
Oh, it might be because they're going to run him to death.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I don't know that he'll get it being on a team that is probably going to have only him to run. Like, I just feel
First of all, well, hold on, because their offense is good. Like, they got some pieces there.
Okay.
Marvin, Michael Wilson, Trey McBride, Jeremiah Love.
Who's throwing those guys the football?
Jacoby Brissett.
If are you saying that because he's cooked? What is going on? Like, I just...
He smoked and cooked.
What you mean? What's the boy from Miami?
Are they still arguing over money?
Carson Beck.
Isn't Jacoby Brissett, aren't they still arguing over his money?
He'll play.
Okay.
What, is he going to not play?
What?
He going to not play?
He ain't going to make no money.
So you sitting there. It ain't like you sitting there where... Everybody wants you. Like, that's you at the end of your career here, so you're not going to play and not make no money?
I just feel like they're going to be playing from behind a lot. I don't know if you can run the ball a ton.
You're down by three touchdowns. See, the thing is, they're working on next year.
They're going to run the schemes. They're going to lose every game.
This is a new coach. You know, he got to understand what's going on.
All right.
Lock.
That's fine. I'm going to, you know what, Jordan Tyson,
because everybody going to be with Chris Olave, who was, by the way, second team All-Pro last year. They're going to be all eyes on him, so Jordan Tyson going to feast.
Okay. I like that pick, although I would love to see it be Jordan Tyson. And actually, why do you hate Casey Concepcion? How dare you?
Casey Concepcion is going to be nice on the release. He's going to be better than a lot of people think. The problem is he's going to be 50-50 on the catches, and that's going to hold him
with
back.
With who, Denzel Boston?
Yeah, actually,
him just catching the ball.
No, because he has drops. Yeah. Drop issues. Because, you know, yes. that's what you want when you take your first round.
I thought you meant on targets, but I understand now.
Yes. Anyway. Also, who's going to throw him the ball? Like, if I'm saying that about the Cardinals, I should definitely say about the Browns.
They probably start off with Deshaun for two games. He gets hurt, and then Shador goes jogging.
It's depressing. I don't want to do this. It's so depressing. Huddle question number three, quickly. Let's do one
All
more.
I hear is about how bad every NFL broadcast is, so I want you guys to say something positive. Who is your favorite duo that does games, play-by-play and color commentary? Who does the best?
Chris.
Were you going to say the Sunday Night Football
guys? For me, it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. That's my favorite duo right now. I'll take those two.
Chris Collinsworth.
You like Chris Collinsworth and Tirico now? Tirico?
Are you kidding me?
He's your guy. Yeah, he's Collinsworth has a lot of a lot of hatred for him.
He does.
And I get it. I mean, I get it. He is because part of it is the way he just gloms onto guys where I cannot defend when Pat Mahomes makes a bad throw and it's just it's okay to say it was a bad throw. Every quarterback makes them.
No, he doesn't.
And he has to come in there and be like, well, you know, when he makes that throw, you see what he was doing there. It was actually brilliant. And he just, it just didn't work out, but he was doing everything right. And I just feel like you don't do yourself any favors, Collinsworth, when you're doing that. It makes no sense.
But he's sort of much more erect. That wasn't a doink. That was a dong.
You don't like Tariq? Well, I guess he was without Micah.
Were you just about to ask T-Bone if he doesn't like Tariqo? he opened the show with the 10-minute monologue about how
I think Mike Tariqo is one of the most overrated broadcasters in the history. You know who likes him? I bet you who likes him is Joshua Perry, because Joshua Perry likes vanilla. Well, he likes the plain flavor. And Mike Tariqo is consistently vanilla. He is boring as hell. Yes, he does his job fine, but that's like the broadcasting standards have gotten so low now that when it's a guy who's like, first down, touchdown, great play, we're like, oh, he's a guy to broadcast. No, he's just basic. He's simple. He doesn't do anything crazy.
Didn't he win broadcaster of the year?
I'm sure he did, because they love the fact that he flies all over for the Olympics, and then he flies back, right, and then he does nothing entertaining. He's not interesting at all. Yeah, great. ESPN gutted their staff yesterday, and some big names got the axe. We'll tell you who's gone next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
And good Wednesday morning to you. Right now, a crash on the north side is now causing a 10-minute delay for drivers. That's because of a crash 71. It's that southbound direction near 270. That right lane is closed up ahead, and it's causing, once again, those backups, some really slow drive times too, 11 miles per hour for your speeds. A similar situation towards that southwest side of Columbus as you're heading towards places like Urban Crest, a little bit slower, 270 in that eastbound direction over by Georgeville Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
And it's a Buckeye football camp is coming, and our team of fan personalities will be there live. All the sweaty sack fun starts Thursday, August 6th. For tickets, head to Ticketmaster.com, your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
You'll notice it's less humid out there this morning, and that mugginess keeps on going down throughout the day. We'll see a mostly sunny sky today with pleasant high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, another winter. Morning lows in the 50s, afternoon highs in the upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Both of these men played sports in high school. Only one of them was good at it. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You can call us if you want. We've got the voicemail set up for you. T-Bone and Tyvus voicemail, replete with a message from T-Bone and Tyvus. Those two idiots. But you call it, you leave your name, tell us where you're calling from, and what you want to talk about. Number's very simple. 614-460-8010. Save it in your phone. Use it now, use it later, use it whenever. We're getting voicemails left and right. Do we have any that we want to play, Dylan? Are any of them worth playing? Or are they all?
Do you want to play the one from Alex the King?
Alex the King is usually in our chat, but he called in. Our topic we kind of got into earlier today was, could guys from the 90s in certain sports come forward and play in this era and vice versa? This started with baseball, but then it really got going with basketball. So let's see what Alex has to say.
I am Alex the King here calling from Columbus, Ohio. Wanted to get in on the 90s basketball versus today's basketball. Dylan Soley, right, it's today's basketball would wipe the floor with the 90s teams. The caveat is, which officiating is being done? Because if it's today's officiating, those players like Shaq and Rodman and Malone are going to get fouled out 5 minutes into the game because you can't be, you know, hitting people in the post like they did back in the 90s. That's my thing. And all.
Oh, is that it?
It's really long.
Oh, okay.
It's really long. So there you go. There's the first 40 seconds of what he has to say.
All right, fine.
The show's over at
Is that
9.
The part afterwards where he's going to say, and then Dylan, I got to tell you, is just the worst producer.
He already said I was totally right, so that's all we need to hear. All right.
Yeah. So did you edit that? Is that AI? Alex King, is that what you did?
Yeah, calls are actually AI, and no one listens to our show.
Allen Iverson is doing all the voices on our show. That's what we do. So I saw ESPN got rid of a bunch of people yesterday. Some people, obviously, that we've never heard of, behind the scenes people who did didn't make splashy headlines. But then I saw, because ESPN bought NFL Network, now they run NFL Network. That's all in-house now. Among the cuts that were made, I saw Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who's been, you know, one of those guys that breaks a lot of news for the NFL, all that stuff. He's gone among the cuts. Also, a guy who's been there for 33 years, and I think his hairpiece has been there for all 33 of those years, Carl Ravage.
I was shocked. I was just shocked for how long he's been there, but now that they like don't have Sunday Night Baseball anymore.
Well, they don't have Sunday Night Baseball.
They don't do baseball tonight. They don't do
baseball tonight. These are if they do, it's a shell of its former self. Like,
you don't think this
those
is
are the
hair?
Things he was on.
You don't think this is hair?
We know it's not.
It's not. It's no. It's fine. I'm fine. By the way, I'm fine with it. Like Landon Donovan, who was on the World Cup broadcast, former U.S. national team player. He was one of the guys that was on almost all the coverage. He was very open. He has been very open. He went to Turkey to get the hair transplants. Didn't take. So he goes and shows you. He goes and takes videos like, what hair do you want me to wear? And he goes to his wig guy and they put the hair on and he wore it for the whole tournament.
They glue it on.
They glue it on.
Tyvus, you need to get a hold of Landon Donovan and LeBron James and tell them where to go. They need help with their hair.
We'll see my people. We'll see my people at Caps, man. Get
they got you fixed up. That's exactly right. Yeah. Also saw that, I'm trying to see who else got laid off here. But there were a decent number of, I saw one yesterday that freaked me out, but it wasn't true. There was a report that Jay Billis was out, but it was a fake account and it wasn't real. But yeah, that's, I don't know, man.
Why did they do Cam Newton like that?
Oh, Cam was another one that was kind of surprising to me.
It's like they're getting rid of all like the players.
Bart Scott got fired. Yeah. Ryan Clark was the day before. We knew about him.
The only guy you got is Pat McAfee that actually played.
And that is interesting because McAfee, I saw him trying to kind of dance around that and say, we're getting blamed for this because
everybody's
talking about our $60 million contract, but we're getting blamed for it. But hey, it's a giant company and decisions are made and, you know, feel for all the people who got let go. That's a weird spot to be in, man. I saw Stephen A too. Stephen A was like, I do not support Ryan Clark getting fired. And I let the bigwigs know that I don't stand by it and I don't think it's okay. And it's like,
but
Stephen A, they got rid of him because of your contract in part, man. Like, they can't pay all these guys all this money.
Who's doing the coverage now?
Your boy Lewis Riddick is still there.
Oh, yeah. Lewis Riddick did survive.
Lewis Riddick that said, hack him this time, his pal kid didn't get drafted.
I'm a Lewis Don't Riddick get it. Fan. But they didn't have to get rid of Charles Davis.
Friend of the program, which that one sucked too because he's always been great. He's great on their draft coverage. We obviously have had him on our show. But
great in Madden.
Yeah, great in Madden. Guy's a legend. You let him go.
He's doing college this year though, right?
I think so. Who's he doing that? Is that?
I thought it was CBS.
He does CBS.
I think
that's
Fish
right.
told yeah, us yeah, yeah. that.
That's
he's
right.
going to be doing college football for CBS. Now.
Good. And like Cam Newton has his 4th and 1 show that he does. Ryan Clark has his thing.
He got
like,
2 podcasts.
Yeah, like those guys have other things. And obviously, I'm sure they'll be okay. They're not hurting for money. But still, it's just, I enjoyed what those guys were doing on the air. I thought they brought a lot of difference to it. And unfortunately for ESPN, your product overall has suffered because you haven't put a lot in the TV product. You've shoved a lot of personalities down our throats, like Stephen A, that people just haven't enjoyed.
I just feel like...
And now nobody watches.
I feel like people do enjoy going to, like, for the little bit, I don't know how many people watch ESPN like that anyways, but for, like, the little part of it that I consume, I do like to see players get up there and talk. For example, like, when Damar Hamlin went down when he died on the field.
Yes.
Guess who was leading the conversation?
Ryan Clark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if all of it was people that never played, like.
Yeah.
Y'all can't relate to this. You don't know nothing about this.
I said this.
And I'm not saying it in a disrespectful way. I don't mean it like that because I
see
Ryan. That's why Ryan Clark got fired because he did exactly what I just said.
I want to say, no. To your point, though, like, that thing last year with him and Peter Schrager. Who Peter Schrader was talking, and then Ryan Clark said, what was the exact way he phrased that? Something like,
he said, I hate to do this, but it's the non-player in you or something.
Right. That's
like
the non-player in you who thinks that. And then Peter Schrader's like, come on, man, don't do that. I guarantee you, Peter Schrager got off the airwaves and complained to everyone that he got called out on the air. But the reality is, guys like me, guys like Dylan, everybody here who works at this station who didn't play the game, it's not that we don't have valid opinions. But if I'm looking at a game and I say, ah, man, like a football game, and I'm watching a defensive player specifically, and I say, man, I think that guy took a bad angle. And you, Tyvus, say, well, here's the thing. You don't understand what he was doing there.
Oh, I just did it. We just did it with Josh the other day.
Yeah, you and Joshua Perry talking about the Eli Apple
People
play.
Look at it and be like, what the heck was you doing? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what I was doing. And then you watch it and be like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
But what I don't understand is, why would people who didn't play the game get offended by that? Like, why would someone who didn't play on the air,
if
Ryan Clark comes out and says, hey, man, no offense, but you didn't play, you don't get what's going on here.
It makes you lose.
That's accurate.
It just, because it's, first of all, you at ESPN. So, like, I think the way people who didn't play it, they probably look at it as if a player says that, it diminishes them, make it seems like I didn't work hard to get to where I'm at. I don't do my research. Like, maybe it comes off as that to him. And, like, I don't think he meant it that way, but he was just trying. I think he was meaning I've been there, so let me tell you exactly what's going on, because you're just guessing, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. So
yes.
I think that you need both. Like, that's what makes the show good, is that you get the opinion of both, because there's people that's going to listen to what Ryan Clark had to say, and there's people that agrees with what Peter Schrager says. So I like both of them. I don't know why you...
But there's...
It just, to me, it seemed like a lot of them firings was, like, cutting all players off.
I mean, part of it is what we do on... Look, I admit I'm not the biggest X's and O's guy. I didn't play football. I admit that. I'm here for other reasons. I'm here to be a goofball, entertain you, try to keep things interesting. And that's also what Tyvus wouldn't be here if he wasn't interesting, entertaining, all those things. Like, we both bring that to the table. But Tyvus has the added advantage of he knows the game. And come football season, when we're talking about the games, you have some insight that I just can never conjure up, no matter what I may do, no matter how much film I try to watch. And I think some guys in this business, some people who do this job, they get so sensitive about the idea that, like, you're saying, I don't know what play I'm watching. No, you do, but you're watching it from a eagle eye above the field.
Yeah,
you're watching,
like I said,
it from all 22 tape.
They take it
you
as
didn't
if you
sit
didn't.
And have a face mask in front of your view as you stood there making the checks at the line. And I just think that's an experience I don't have. Why would I pretend that I have that? Why would Peter Schrager get mad when Ryan Clark says, hey, man, no offense, but you weren't there, you don't know? That's like, you don't get what's going on here.
Because it makes him look bad on camera in front of millions of people.
I guess, man. I don't know. I think maybe
that's something like that's a conversation you have off the air.
That's fair.
Maybe Ryan Clark,
didn't he apologize for that?
Think he did the next day.
Yeah. So like,
or maybe even later that segment or something like
right,
that.
Right. Like, he even started off by saying, no offense or no disrespect men, or I'm not trying to be a hater or whatever he said, but like, yeah, I think it's ludicrous to me that Ryan Clark isn't there. And it's also ludicrous to me that Desmond Howard still is there. Through all these cuts every freaking year, they have one of the worst personalities on that airwaves, and we know why.
You don't like Desmond?
He and Kirk Herbstreit are best buds.
You be careful talking about Desmond Howard on these airwaves.
Yeah, I've heard. Don't tell me that you're a young one. I've been there. I lived it. I saw it firsthand. I'm aware. Don't you read the old scrolls to me. I was there, but when you were a boy, I was a that. Living it.
Yes, I'm very aware.
I've heard. Zaren Donald coming back to the NFL. Well, I'm not a player, so I don't know. Apparently, Tyvus will have to tell you. Coming up in 2 minutes, T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, traffic looking a little bit better in the northeast side of Columbus. Outside of Blendon Township, we are still closely following a crash for you. 161, that westbound ramp to 270 northbound, is still pretty active, though, folks. So just keep in mind, the road is open, just a little restricted out there. Lastly, for our friends traveling in our northwest corner from Plain City to Dublin, a heads up, we're getting a little bit slower on 33 in that eastbound direction as you're approaching 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Columbus.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus will put anything in his mouth on a dare. All right, almost anything. No, I stand by my previous statement. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Chris in our YouTube chat said Ryan Clark was absolutely trying to be disrespectful when he would say things like what he said to Peter Schrager. It was the way he said it more than what he actually said. All right, fair. We went back and watched the clip in the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the one thing that Ryan Clark did in that clip, which, by the way, I don't think that's the reason he got fired, because if they were going to fire him over that, they would have done it last year. You know, like, I feel like maybe there were other factors that weighed into it. But I do feel like that might have played a part in his firing. But I don't think that's the reason he got let go of ESPN, just solely. I think there must have been other stuff there, too. But Ryan Clark, even in that clip, said, maybe we shouldn't do this on the air. That's probably a good instinct, is just to say, maybe we shouldn't do this on the air, because it would have saved that little headache for him. But I don't get the fascination with guys like Peter Schrager. I've never understood it. I don't know. Like, I look at Peter Schrager and I see a guy who's like me, who's just, you didn't play the game. You enjoy football. Peter Schrager does a lot more homework than I do. I'll give him credit. When you're talking about the mentality of what it's like to play football and who had a better day and who's better at this or that, I have no problem saying, Tyvus, hey, this is my opinion, but what do you think? I don't know. If Joshua Berry was here, I'd say, Joshua, what do you think? That's a valued opinion. And I don't understand why that's such a hard thing for guys in this business.
Well, you got to be comfortable in your skin, and you got to know your limitations. Bo says it all the time. Got to know your limitations.
Sure.
And sometimes you got to step out the way and let the player be the player, you know? And a lot of the times people want to, especially when it comes to actual X's and O's and things that happen on the field, people want to hear from the player because they would know. And I think that some people that haven't played the game or haven't played the sport, they kind of look at it like, well, they're taking a moment to shine away from me, and it makes it look like I don't matter in this moment.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of what it is. And it's just, it's not that you don't matter. That's not it. It's just, you know, here's a guy that did it, that actually did it and knows what he's talking about, just a tad bit more than you do.
And that's, it's so odd to see the egos in this business, because I've run into them a lot in my time. And I mean, we all have one. If we didn't have any pride or ego, we wouldn't be doing this type of job. But like, seeing some of that come up, we didn't talk about it as much last year, like when that initially came up, because I just thought it was so overblown that Ryan Clark has things.
You can
certainly get frustrated at Ryan Clark for other things. I'm not here to debate all that. I'm just saying that situation with Peter Schrager, I thought he was just pointing out that, like, you're not seeing what we're talking about, because all three of these, because there's other guys on the show there too.
Dan, Ryan, and Mike.
Dan Orlovsky and... I don't know who was the other guy. I didn't see the clip. I just listened.
What is it, Mike Greensburg?
Oh, yeah, Greeny was there. Greeny, yeah. But like, wasn't there someone else, another player on the? Well, either way,
no, it was just them four. It was Peter, Mike, I think Ryan, if it was, he was on the other side of Ryan, and I didn't see him.
Well, either way, the point is, like, if a bunch of ex-players are saying one thing, and the other guy who didn't play is saying, like, no, you guys are wrong. Let me tell you why. Like, that's a tough look. That's just, maybe ESPN doesn't set you up well by putting you on a panel like that, but. I don't know, like, I don't think just because you didn't play, you can't have a valid opinion. Like, Mina Kimes, I think, does some of the best work on football of anyone I've ever heard.
And you've seen whatchamacallit win at her. Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia is an effing loser. What a loser he is.
I was like, sheesh.
Jeff Garcia sucks, and he sucked for 30 years. Jeff Garcia is terrible. I can't stand him.
He was hot at Mina Kimes.
But here's the thing. Like, Mina Kimes comes in prepared and says, I'm talking to you about analytics, and this is what analytically this team does. And she makes no bones about the fact that that's where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to hear that conversation, you don't have to listen to her conversation. You don't have to follow her podcast. You don't have to watch her when she's on TV. But when it comes to, like, her knowledge of what the numbers say about certain players, she's got that down as well as anyone in the business. But I totally can understand if another player comes in and is like, that's cool. The numbers, though, don't tell you this side of the story. That's totally fair. And it's a weird thing to get this like drawing lines about stuff like that in our business.
I used to say that the reason people use stats and analytics is because it allows the people that didn't play to have a voice. That was the reason that I said it. But now what I really realize is the people cherry pick stats.
Absolutely,
like,
right.
They're only going to bring up the ones that support their argument. So there's analytics and stats for literally everything nowadays, but the only time you're going to hear about them is if it goes with the argument that they're saying.
If it doesn't,
the other side don't want to hear.
I'm not trying to like fanboy on Mina Kimes, but like just to keep on that discussion for a second, she can also do things like, hey, this guy wouldn't fit in that defense, we don't think, mm-hmm. because they run a 3-4 or they run this type of defense, mm-hmm. and he's never played that type of defense, at least not in the NFL. That's just knowing what you're talking about.
Miles Garrett going to a 3-4 and he's been in a 4-3 his whole career.
But you don't have to have your head in a helmet to know that. Peter Schrager can know stuff like that too. So if that's where someone's undercutting you, and saying, well, you didn't play, so you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's just factual evidence.
Correct.
That's just stuff that's information that anyone can access. Mm-hmm. They're good at remembering that. But when it comes to figuring out like what a player should have done on a play, that obviously makes a lot more sense that a former player would say, I have a different perspective on that. And I think that's totally valid. So I don't know. That's weird. It's just a weird thing to see. But ESPN making cuts. And go look at the ex-player they kept around, by the way. The ex-players they keep around are guys like Pat McAfee, who's a complete goofball, which Pat's great. Like, he's a great media personality. This guy is in WWE for a reason. Like, he is a showman. He is a performer. He is interesting. But he is definitely, I wouldn't say, your best X's and O's guy you've got on the desk, would you?
Probably not.
No.
I mean, he understands the game. I mean, but this was a punter, so.
Right. Yes.
But still knows the game.
He knows the game, but also, I don't think that he has, he does more things than just that. Now, I do not understand their fascination with Dan Orlovsky.
It's a quarterback. He's a quarterback. He does a great job of explaining things and breaking
things
down.
So is Curtis Painter. Like, what? Go call somebody. Man, stepped out of bounds. He was terrible. He was not a good quarterback. Why are we asking the bad quarterbacks to come on, but we don't let, the great players who actually played the game at a high level? I don't get that.
Cam Newton?
Yeah. Cam Newton, I think people undercut his opinion over Dan Orlovsky. And Dan Orlovsky,
It's because Dan does them breakdowns.
He does. He's good at marketing himself.
Yeah.
Dylan, are you a Dan Orlovsky guy? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rip him to shreds.
Don't feel either way about him.
Okay.
I've heard him say stupid stuff. I've heard him say some good stuff. I'm pretty
he's a human.
About Dan. Yeah.
Good and bad opinions.
Who was the guy last year that we was arguing? The quarterback from Alabama that went to the Rams, Ty Simpson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember, he kept saying, through six games. And I said, yeah, Dan, through six games. I told you he was winning the Heisman.
Well, that's
was eight games. Come on.
Whatever. That problem to me.
I was like, go watch the rest of it, because I said the same thing.
That's another symptom, though, of the people who are like what I would call the shieldies, the guy who just watches NFL. And then come draft time, they're like, oh, let me be an expert. And he has to go back and watch the Alabama games to tell you what Ty Simpson does. And it's like, college football fans can tell you, call anyone who watches college football, we'll tell you what he did. But Dan Orlovsky's like, I didn't tell you, I watched the first half of this movie and everything seemed pretty great. I liked how that was going. Watch the second half, man. That was the point. By the way, apparently with the Rams, there's no real deadline for Aaron Donald. They're just... Ian Rappaport's latest on that was that.
He should wait to have the season over with.
Well, he said essentially what you brought up the other day, which is that Aaron Donald's not doing training camp.
No.
There's no expectation that he would. He is going to work himself into game shape. But if you think he's going to do that in training camp, you're probably wrong.
No,
0%. And they also brought up a very fair point, which was that he's not going to be a 50 or 60 play guy a game on defense. He is going to come in for very spot duty,
mm-hmm.
and that is something that. It'll take him a while to get to that shape, probably.
He can give you his all for about 2-3 plays, especially if it's third and long. Put him in. Let's go. Him and Miles.
I was just going to say, if only they had signed a future Hall of Famer on the defensive line this year, or traded for him, I should say. Maybe that would alleviate that. Oh, wait, they did.
Both,
all right.
Aaron Donald and LeBron should wait till Christmas to decide if and where they're going to play next season.
That's a great call.
Too bad they both ain't going to L.A. together.
You know what's crazy, though, in the transfer portal era? Like, if an NFL player did that, or an NBA player, but specifically an NFL player waiting until, December to say, I want to drop in on a roster. Whenever the latest is they can do that, now that we're used to transfer portal where guys have just, jumped teams so much, I feel go ahead.
I promise you, Marshawn Lynch was going to do that with the Seahawks.
Oh, I believe it.
I was sitting there when I was you know what? We got to go to break. Okay. I can't even talk about it.
Tell the story when we come back. Hit the buzzer next.
I don't even know who we got coming.
All right, find out who we're going to talk to next. And Tyvus tells a story, and we hit the buzzer, and Mike Tirico sucks. All that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, right now, the north side commute still not looking any better if you're traveling 71 in that southbound direction. The ramp to 270 eastbound, we do see that right shoulder is blocked, and it is causing some major backups for folks this morning. Over towards Polaris, even passing Gemini Place, our traffic cams are looking pretty crazy out there for your early Wednesday morning. Expect some slower speeds out in the area. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we'll talk some high school golf with a couple of area coaches as they get set for the upcoming season, plus Tim Streed of the OHSAA.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these guys still believes he can play in the NFL. It's Tebow. He says it's because of his low center of gravity. He's dumb. This is Bone and Tybus.
Joining us, a guy who we haven't talked to all week.
It's Wednesday, dude.
So what? That's too long. Usually we talk to you on Tuesdays. We haven't talked to you. So all week, like I said, the guy who's been running things for Bishop and Friends, who's been doing a great job, by the way, sitting in the one chair while Bo is out on PTO, Eric Reeser.
It helps when I have Joshua Perry and Ryan Baker.
It always helps. When That's why they make my
job very easy.
So, like, I tell everybody all the time, why was Penn State game so bad for me in 2015? Because Josh Perry got hurt in the first quarter.
You had to pick up a lot of the slack. Yeah. And it's tough on the field to replace a guy like Joshua. It's tough in the radio booth. It's also probably tough for NBC. So they won.
Anyways, before you came on, I was about to tell a story about, we were talking about Aaron Donald, and we were saying that he should wait. I said he should wait till half the season to come back and join the Rams. And I was about to tell the story about Marshawn Lynch. So as a rookie, I was in Seattle, and I had went to Sherm's house for Thanksgiving that year. And yeah, the big White House, went to the big White House at Sherm's house and had this massive spread. A lot of people came over to eat. Well, in walks in Marshawn Lynch, right? He just stopped by and he was in the kitchen having a conversation. And he was basically saying, like, if y'all make the playoffs and go far, I might come back at the end of the year. Like, I might. Because y'all owe me a Super Bowl for what happened. So I might come back to get that Super Bowl ring. So I say all that to say, players think about that all the time.
Yeah,
so
and Aaron Donald.
I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron tried that.
What's it? Is he two full seasons removed?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's
still looks like an action figure. And
absolutely.
Has played enough preseason, has done enough preseason nonsense, has done enough training camp nonsense where you don't need him until at least October.
Well, the last time we seen him in training camp, he had pulled somebody's helmet off and was trying to hit him with it in a,
well,
I think it was Cincinnati too.
That's right. There was that incident, yeah. So you know he's ready to play. You know he's going to be aggressive. You don't have any problems with bringing on a guy like Aaron Donald, a player of Aaron Donald's caliber, a leader like Aaron Donald, and probably before the midway point of the season, I'd say October, just to get him acclimated and back to an NFL regiment.
Yeah.
Because there's no kind of reps like game reps.
Correct.
There's no kind of, you know, training for the rigors of an NFL season, put your body through.
The only way you're going to do it is play it. You're
right.
Going to play it.
So I think I'd love to see it out there. Like I think the Rams are, I heard you guys talking about the teams that have the best chances to win their respective divisions. And
who'd you pick?
It's the Rams.
Thank you. Smart man.
And that's
you
know even what? Before should, they have
we,
Aaron Donald.
You know what? We shouldn't do this. And what? I'm going to apologize. But that's the non-player in you.
Well, that's true. Here's the thing. For the next 3 hours on Bishop and Friends, I'm going to give a lot of football takes, and I have not played football since high school.
Oh, I know.
And I was on a football team, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. That's why you have an expert like Joshua Perry come in and give takes from having done it at the highest level.
Yeah.
Because I'm just an idiot that'll get you in and out of breaks.
Hey,
I'll do some reads correctly. I might hit a button or two at the proper spot to fire a thing.
You're saying you wouldn't have been upset if Ryan Clark did that to you on national TV?
I wouldn't have, because that kind of a take, I guess, levying that at me or levying that at Peter Schrager the way he did just meant he had nothing else to go off of. Like, Peter Schrager had a legitimate point, and Ryan Clark said, well, that's because you didn't play. And it's like, well, that doesn't make my point any less correct.
Yeah.
Or that doesn't do anything to advance this conversation. All you've done is just taken the show and put it to a grinding halt with a silly insult.
Yeah. I do think that was something that Ryan Clark, I think,
He apologized
before he even said it.
He was like, I know I shouldn't probably do this on the air.
And he apologized before he said it and then said it.
Yeah. But that's ultimately, like, I feel like he had that more than a couple times where he just would dip his toe into controversy and then probably instantly regretted that, but he couldn't stay away from it a little bit. So,
but those are the biggest things to where, as a person who's done broadcasting for many years, not going to say I'm a professional broadcaster in any sense of the word, but where if you need to resort to that to make a point or to tell somebody they're wrong, then not only have you done yourself a disservice, you've levied an insult that you can't take back, and you've done what I think is the most offensive and egregious thing, is ground a show to a halt when you only have a certain amount of time to do your show.
Fair.
Because that's then you've got to spend time, and Schrager had to go and do the, come on, man, don't do that. And it's like, all right, now you've made it uncomfortable where, what, you spend 5 minutes on it, and now you've wasted time. And I do think that's the biggest lesson, I think, to take from it, is the only time you have, you cannot waste.
Well, and the good news is for like Ryan Clark now, if that's, I don't even know that it's necessarily bad to have that thought. It's more about how he did it in the context of that show. But now he has a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
he has his whole network where he can go out and he can do the show he wants to do. And I think that's one of the best things about how media is now, is like, if you enjoy that type of, you know, three or four guys sitting there with Mike Greenberg every day arguing about the day's topics, that show exists. But if you want to hear like an ex-player like him or Cam Newton just talking with guys that they want to have on and discussing the game in their own way, great. Well, they have their outlets too, and I think that's awesome.
ESPN did him one last favor, because whenever Cam Newton or Ryan Clark do their next podcast, it's going to get a lot of numbers. People want to hear from
him. Oh, absolutely. By the way, what do you have there?
So this right here is the light that I use for when I do my hit on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Because it kind of,
I just
gets,
look over and Thomas has like a TV light that he's got plugged in.
It gets kind of dark in my, where I'm sitting, so I got to cut
they
this light
They do put
on.
You in a closet.
Yeah, I got to cut this light on and like have it sitting on the stand.
Look so
like
do you have to white balance the camera?
Like, do you sometimes I keep a piece of paper, a white piece of paper. They like,
I'll be honest, I was in there yesterday. I'm like, what the hell is this white piece of paper for? And I'm like, well, that's why. Yeah.
It's white balancing the camera. That's right. All right, what's coming up on Bishop and Friends today, Reese?
We got to have a lot of Miami conversation, and it just worked out that way to where you're talking about LeBron. Jake Diebler, you heard some of his comments. You'll hear more of his comments on the Buckeyes going to Miami to take a trip to Puerto Rico for a couple exhibition games. Our 20 most interesting programs centers on the U.
Okay.
Alex Dono, who's locked on Canes and locked on the ACC, will join us at 11:30 to have a Miami football conversation and probably to give a state of the ACC from a guy who covers one of the more prominent teams, the team that didn't win the championship last year, and then a league that a lot of people think is going to be picked apart before we get to 2030. Jake Trotter, national college football reporter for ESPN, he'll join us at 10:30. We'll do Hey Guys at 10 o'clock. And then USA Today says Ohio State is the number one football program in the country. We'll do a little higher or lower with that ranking at 10:17.
There you go.
It's all over the place because of 20 most interesting programs. Right. So I got to do a better job. I should write it down, but bleep that.
Who does that? That's fine. That. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
I love this from the Angels, apparently, Major League Baseball. They had to fire a scout who apparently was caught filming members of the Rockies coaching staff doing a little bit of, illegal scouting, little Connor Stallions action. So you're allowed to sit in the, you know, the area where scouts are allowed, and you're allowed to film things on the field. What you're not allowed to do is film signals and then use those to decipher what the signals mean. Obviously, that's in all the other sports than baseball too. However, so they fired this guy back in June once they found out he did this to the Rockies. He apologized to everybody. Major League Baseball already said they think this guy was acting on his own. Here's the ironic part to me. This guy's name is Justin Prinstein. They hired him in December after seeing on social media that this coach and scout, who had formed a YouTube channel called The Baseball Spy, had this YouTube following, and they were like, well, let's hire him as a coach. Literally called himself The Baseball Spy.
So he knew,
caught spying on a baseball game.
It's the Rockies.
Had to get fired. The Angels fired him for spying on the Rockies. That's how this works.
Two teams that are 20 under 500.
Hey, what are the Angels doing trying to spy on
I
teams?
I don't know. This guy's an idiot, it sounds like.
They should trade Mike Trout.
Yeah, fair enough.
He doesn't want to. He just wants to stay in Los Angeles and make a ton of money.
Go to the Dodgers.
This feels like a take that's been a thing since like 2018.
Tarek Skubal to get traded. Yeah. August 3rd is the deadline baseball lovers.
We'll see what happens. All right, Fishman Friends is next. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, we are seeing a crash just south of Reynoldsburg. State Route 256 in that southbound direction. When you're passing Taylor Road and right before that ramp to 70, expect some lane closures out there. But pretty typical for other areas. Some traffic trouble spots include 71 in that northbound direction at Greenlawn Avenue, as well as 670 in more of that westbound direction as you're traveling northbound on 315. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a great day.